It is another Friday night. I am the Sala Monster. We are here to talk about SmackDown. And tonight was John Cena's first match on SmackDown since 2022. And who knows, it may end up being the last match ever that he wrestles on this show. It's a non-title match in the main event against someone who I thought was going by the name Ron Killings. They keep calling him R-Truth, so I guess that's still his name. I'll call him Ron Killings, but they were in the main event tonight, non-title, of course, and we had 12 minutes left in the show when the match actually ended. So in reality, it really wasn't about the match. It was about the angle they set up at the end of the show when the match was over. And I should say that, you know, earlier in the night, Joe Tessitore on commentary mentioned, it came out of a commercial break. I forgot what was on. It might have been the LA Knight match that was on. But he said, this has been an outrageously entertaining night, right? Or outrageously exciting, I believe, was the exact words that he used. And I don't know why they have the announcers do this and go so over the top with the effusive praise of their own shows. This has been an outrageously, outrageously exciting night. No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. There was nothing outrageously exciting about this show, but it had its good parts. All right, let's just be honest here. It had its good moments, not that many of them, but it had its good moments. It was not an outrageously exciting show. We had two matches, one in King of the Ring, one in Queen of the Ring. And the King of the Ring match with Randy Orton and Sami Zayn was certainly the best match on the entire show. That was good. That was very good, actually, and I enjoyed that. And they forwarded some other stories, Jacob Fatu and Solo Sikoa. Now we have a United States Championship match that is set for Night of Champions next weekend. We have a bunch of championship matches they set up for SmackDown, which is going to be in Riyadh next Friday. So we have that. LA Knight looks like he may be taking a vacation because he got squashed by a bunch of tsunami splashes on this show as Seth Rollins' crew, still with no name, and no Seth Rollins tonight. But the other members of his crew laid out LA Knight. But all that anybody is going to be talking about is going to be the promo that we got at the very end of the show. In case you didn't realize it, it was right around this time, 14 years ago. John Cena, funny enough, was wrestling R-Truth on Raw back in 2011. I believe they were having a tables match. And CM Punk sat on the stage, cross-legged, and he cut one of the most famous promos in wrestling history, the famous pipe bomb promo, as John Cena, who I think had been put through a table that was propped up in the corner, was licking his wounds in the ring as Punk cut this promo that is still quoted today. Not only is it still quoted today, but it was quoted on the television show tonight in the closing segment. So we had a callback, a very big callback here, because they had John Cena cut his own version, basically a pipe bomb parody on CM Punk in advance of their big championship match that's coming up next weekend at Night of Champions. He turned the tables, literally and figuratively, on CM Punk, and he cut his own version of the pipe bomb promo. And I already saw some of the comments. This thing is getting so much glaze. It's getting more glaze than a donut. Okay, you're not going to get any of that here from me. I'm not going to sit here and overly glaze about this promo. I know what they were going for. I thought it was clever. I thought there were some good aspects to it. No, it is not the promo of the year. No, it is not the segment of the year. It is a rehash of a famous promo that took place 14 years ago. And was not nearly as good. But one thing that I was looking forward to when John Cena, well, when he announced that he was going to have this retirement year, but even when he turned heel, I wanted to get John Cena and CM Punk. And the reason I wanted to get John Cena and CM Punk is because the two of them bring the best out of each other. And I thought that if there was any magic left in Cena on the mic and the ring, Punk was the perfect person to help bring that out of him. And we saw some of that tonight. Like, what we got from John Cena in this closing segment was the best that we have gotten from John Cena since he turned heel. Now, that's a low bar, because this John Cena heel turn has been sputtering ever since what we saw at Elimination Chamber. It's been all downhill from there. So since then, a lot of what we've gotten with John Cena on TV, in my opinion, has been very lame, has been very underwhelming, to the point where I'm basically just begging for him to go back to being a babyface at this point. But what we saw tonight, I mean, he was out there clearly having fun with it, but this is the closest thing to a segment that I've seen with John Cena where I looked at it and said, okay, all right, this is a little bit closer to maybe the sort of thing I was hoping for. And it's no surprise that it comes here in a feud with CM Punk, because still in 2025, these two bring the best out of each other. And it gives me some degree of hope that even in the match that they have in Saudi next week, I'm not expecting anything remotely close to what they put together back in 2011 and 2013. The last time we saw them one-on-one in that pile driver match on Monday Night Raw, I'm not foolish enough to expect that. Cena doesn't have it in him anymore to have a match like that. He just doesn't. But I think if anybody can bring him as close to that level as possible, it's CM Punk. So I'm hopeful that we can get something really good from these two next weekend in Saudi. But what they were going for here with this closing segment, other than the obvious callback, was Cena throwing it back in Punk's face that effectively you have become the very thing that you hated back then when you cut that same promo on me. That's you now, right? You're not fighting against the system. You are the system. You're not scratching and clawing and trying to get to the top of the mountain. You're a millionaire, right? You're not Punk. You're corporate. Like that's what he was trying to get across here in this promo, to say nothing, of course, of this idea that Punk is a hypocrite, because Cena is forcing him to do the one thing that he clearly never wanted to do, which is go to Saudi Arabia if he wants to wrestle Cena and win the WWE Championship. You got to go all the way to Riyadh to do it, which I thought was also clever. So there were aspects of this promo that I liked, and I know what they were trying to accomplish with it and what they were trying to do with it. I cannot get past the obvious thing that stood out to me that just made me shake my head, which is how much of a fucking geek they made CM Punk look like in this segment. Now, you have to picture this. Anybody who remembers the original pipe bomb, right? Cena was put through a table in the ring. Punk at least had the decency to walk all the way up to the stage and sit down on the stage to put some distance between himself and Cena. So Cena in the ring, even though he was sitting there, he's licking his wounds, eventually he came to and he was listening and paying attention to what CM Punk was saying on that stage. Tonight, the most ridiculous part of this entire thing is that he puts CM Punk through this, the mother of all tables. This is the most dangerous table in the entire world. And Punk is forced to lay there in this rubble for over 10 minutes, pretending to be unconscious. He is laying there as if he is just incapable of standing up, incapable of moving. He looks like he's taking a nap during this promo. And so we were like 5, 6, 7 minutes into this promo, and I'm like, he's still fucking laying there. He looked completely ridiculous. I couldn't get past it. I could not get past it. It was completely ridiculous. He may still be laying there. I need a report from somebody who is in the building tonight to let me know whether or not Punk is still, in fact, laying in the middle of the ring. It was so stupid. That aspect of it was so stupid. But the other thing that really struck me about that closing segment was the reaction, the crowd reaction to Cena. He was cheered like a babyface during this promo. So if you needed any other example of why this heel turn is sputtering and failing, these people don't want to boo this man. They are ready to cheer him. The number of dates that he has left, it's finite, right? We're running out of dates. That list is getting smaller and smaller and smaller of the dates and the cities that he has left here before he is done. And these people, they want to go out there, they want to pay for a ticket, they want to see John Cena one last time, and they want to cheer for him. And that's what most of the people in Grand Rapids tonight were doing during this promo. They were cheering for John Cena. They were chanting his name. And we may start to see this more often, where it's going to be even harder for some of these crowds to boo this man, even though he's kicking people in the dick and he's hitting them in the head with belts. Especially the later and the deeper we get into this year, I think you're going to see more and more of that. So if ever there was a reason to really look at this and go, boy, you know, he's supposed to be a heel, but it's not really working out that way. I certainly noticed it in Grand Rapids today based on the reaction from these fans. So we're going to get into everything that Punk said during this promo, including the name drops. He name drops some ex-WWE talents and, ooh, he called them by their real name. See, that's always going to get a great response from the crowd. You name somebody that no longer works for the company, you call them by their real name, and you're going to get, ooh, you're going to get, ah. And he got some of that during the promo as well. We'll get into the substance of it and some more thoughts on what we call it now, Pipe Bomb 2.0, Cheap Knockoff 2.0, I don't know what you want to call it. But anyway, we'll get into all that. And one other thing. Originally, SmackDown, supposedly, the plan was for SmackDown to go back to 2 hours as of June 6th. That didn't happen. Not only did it not happen, but the report seemed to indicate that for the foreseeable future, SmackDown was going to remain 3 hours. Okay, and I was ready to take a nosedive off the roof here. So now we come to find out, and there were some commercials during SmackDown tonight for, there is a brand new legal drama coming to USA Network for all the times I've talked about where have all the shows gone on USA Network. All the shows over the years and all the dramas and the comedies and everything that this network has had, where are all the new shows on USA Network? They don't really have any anymore. Now they have one. It's called, is it Rainmaker or The Rainmaker? It's not Okada. But they have this new show called The Rainmaker that is coming to USA Network. It is a legal drama. And it starts on Friday night, August 15th at 10 p.m. Eastern time. So that's when that, so at the latest, SmackDown is moving back to 2 hours. No later than August 15th, but it gets even better. Because multiple websites, multiple sources have indicated, and I see, I'm taking a believe it when I see it approach. I've been burned once before. I will not be burned again. But apparently, as of July 4th, I salute you. On July 4th, SmackDown will be 2 hours in length. So it's possible SmackDown starting July 4th going forward is back to 2 hours. It's also possible it's only 2 hours because it's July 4th and the show is being taped that week. And it goes back to being 3 hours until the middle of August. But the point is, it looks like there is light at the end of a very dark tunnel. And in fact, SmackDown may well be going back to 2 hours. We'll see. We'll see. I'm trying not to get my hopes up too much, but it looks like this may be the real thing. And it cannot come a day too soon. I don't give a shit what anybody says. I posted about this the other day. People were like, oh, this is going to be terrible for the roster. Yeah, well, it's not going to be terrible for me. And guess what? WWE for many, 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 many years, including right now on Tuesdays with NXT, has 2 hours of television programming. And at the end of the day, it's up to the booker, it's up to the creative team to do the best job they possibly can to make the most of the real estate that they are given on any given night. 2.5 hours like we have on Monday nights, 2 hours on Tuesdays, 3 hours, whatever it may be. The onus is on them to look at the roster they have, to delegate talent in the best possible way, to rotate talent in and out, to give them enough attention, maybe even shuffle the rosters around a little bit, spread some of the wealth around. I don't really give a shit. I'll take 2 hours of SmackDown over 3 hours of SmackDown any day of the week. So, fingers crossed, SmackDown may go back to the way it should be, 2 hours in just a few weeks. This is your Friday Night SmackDown review. I am the Sala Monster. It is Friday, June 20th, 2025. Thank you so much for joining me here yet again as we close out another very successful week. We go from Marina, Mexico on Wednesday night to Grand Rapids, Michigan here on Friday night. I don't think you can find two more polar opposite places in the entire world than where we were in Arena, Mexico on Wednesday and in Grand Rapids tonight. But see, that's the beauty of wrestling. Hit that like button, hit that subscribe button. Super chats are open. You'll see them popping up on your screen. There it is. There's Larceny. I'm going to be reading all of your messages. I got to give just, I'm not going to read them yet, the ones that came in earlier, but I do have to give a very quick shout out here to our good friend Havili, who hours ago dropped a huge red bomb on me. So thank you to Havili and everybody else who's donated so far. I'm going to get to all of your messages. We're going to hang out later. If we hit our goals, we may even do a couple of Be the Booker rounds. Some of them have been updated. You got some new ones in there. So we'll see. It's going to be up to you guys. But let's get into this here, because to open the show, LA Knight made his way out to the ring. LA Knight comes out to a huge pop. It is remarkable to me. It really is. In spite of the booking, it is remarkable to me how over this man still is. From the moment they hit his music and he walks out there, he still gets that superstar reaction. And it was no different here in Grand Rapids. He comes out and he recalled being screwed by Seth Rollins' crew in Money in the Bank. He said that he got payback by screwing some of Seth's boys out of their spots in their King of the Ring matches. So Knight said that they cost him a King of the Ring match. He did the same to them. So Knight said it ends with him and Seth Rollins. That's the end game here. Him and Seth Rollins one-on-one. And then he called him out for a match right here in Grand Rapids. He got a big pop because everybody thought they were going to get a match, but they weren't. But they thought they were. And then we heard, ladies and gentlemen, out waddles the Penguin. Here comes Paul Heyman. He walks to the ring and he joins Knight inside the ring. Says that there was indeed a lot of bad blood between Seth Rollins and LA Knight. However, with all due respect to the Grand Rapids crowd, he said that he was the biggest LA Knight fan in all of WWE. He even did the yeah catchphrase. And as such, Seth Rollins has allowed him to say that Knight needs to get the hell out of Grand Rapids, because otherwise, if he doesn't, something bad is going to happen to him before the night is over. So Knight responded by saying that he's heard Heyman make that threat before, because he's a grifter and a swindler and someone who leeches onto every talent with a little bit of buzz, a little bit of momentum around them. He said that if Heyman couldn't bring Seth Rollins to him, then there was only one thing they could do instead. It was LA Knight against Paul Heyman. And the fans like that idea. How many stars do you think Meltzer would give that match? LA Knight against Paul Heyman? What would the star rating on that be? I'm not sure. But he said that he would fight him right here, right now. He said he was going to take his stuff off and he was going to turn his back to give Heyman the first shot. But he better make it count, because if he doesn't, he was going to mollywop his ass right out of the state. I think I may have to start using that. I like that. Mollywop. Do you realize I had to go to... I went to the dictionary. Actually, the first thing that came up was the Urban Dictionary. I went to the Urban Dictionary because I needed to know if this was a real word. And it is. It is. And I love how they give examples. You know. Oh, I was talking to Fred the other day, and he said he was going to mollywop Richard's ass. Like, I love it. So I'm going to have to try to incorporate that now into my vocabulary. Oh, Jelani. Okay, thank you for reminding me. Yes. Thank you, Jelani. Okay, Jelani in the chat reminded me of something. So there was a point in this promo. Paul Heyman, I don't remember what it was that he said. Paul Heyman said something in his promo. His voice cracked. His voice raised like 5 octaves. And then he kept, you know, saying what he was saying. So after he was done speaking, Knight began to speak. And at some point during his promo, he mocked the voice change. And it was fucking great. And again, I don't remember exactly what he said. But the way he said it, just mocking the voice change was just perfect. So like Heyman said, you know, whatever it is that he was going to say. And then Knight starts talking, and he's like, it was comical. But like, again, he thinks on his feet. He's very good. He's very sharp like that. So yes, thank you for reminding me about that. Almost forgot. But don't do that again, or I'll have to mollywop you. So he turned his back on him. He started to take his shit off. He turned his back to Heyman. Heyman ended up rolling out of the ring. And Heyman said that his threat that he made before to LA Knight, that was not a prediction. He said that was a spoiler. And right on cue, Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed, they emerged. They made their way down to the ring. They went after Knight. It was 2-on-1. So they ripped his shirt off and they threw him over the barricade by the timekeeper's area. But Knight emerged with a steel chair and he fended them off. He got in the ring and he had the equalizer and he was standing there and Heyman got his men to back off and that was it. That was the end of the segment. So LA Knight has laid down the gauntlet to Seth Rollins, who was a Raw guy. So does that mean that Seth Rollins is going to actually cash in his money in the bank at some point for the WWE Championship and they're going to move his entire crew with Heyman over to SmackDown? I don't think so. But it's a possibility that you have to consider, right? It's a possibility. I don't think that's the answer. I stand on what I've been saying for the last couple of months. And now I see there's a report out there that, you know, internally in WWE, there's been discussion of or a push to, you know, have LA Knight move to Monday night. Yeah, no shit. No shit. I've only been saying this for 2 or 3 months now. LA Knight needs to move to Monday Night Raw. And this gives me hope. The fact that he's feuding with these guys, the fact that he's calling out Seth Rollins, these are Raw guys. It just illustrates my point that he has nothing left to do on SmackDown because he is so devoid of a story or competition on this show that he has to feud with people from the other show. That should tell you something. Maybe he should be on that show. Because again, if he ever has a shot at being a world champion in this company, and it may never happen, which would be a real crime as over as he still is, if he's got any shot at winning a world title in WWE, it's going to be the world heavyweight title. I don't see him holding the WWE championship. And the WWE championship right now is on SmackDown. He should be on Raw. Period. End of story. That's why I've been saying it. Now backstage, when this was all over, Heyman told Breaker and Reed, everything is under control. Everything was in their favor. Byron Saxton showed up. He said that Nick Aldis informed him that Bronson Reed was going to go one-on-one later in the show against LA Knight. Heyman thanked Saxton, and then he told Reed, he said, see, patience isn't a virtue, it's a strategy. After this, we had a Queen of the Ring semifinal match with Alexa Bliss challenging Asuka, who returned on Monday night for the first time in 13 months. It is great to finally have Asuka back. It's been too long. These two have held the women's tag team titles before. Not for very long. They lost them in their first title defense. But they do have some history together. They've had a few matches together over the years. None of them very good from what I can remember because none of them stand out to me. Certainly nothing memorable. Bliss dodged a big kick from Asuka for a roll-up, but found herself in a roll-up of her own after a failed Sister Abigail attempt. The Sister Abigail DDT that she does. Asuka headed up top for a missile drop kick. Bliss, though, blocked it and hit a regular DDT for a near fall. Bliss went up top. She had Asuka in position for Twisted Bliss, and this was kind of awkward here. So she's standing on the top rope, and she's waiting, and she's standing, and she's standing. And she, like, points down at Asuka. And then she just jumps down. And I thought, okay, well, maybe Asuka was back on her feet. Or, you know, Asuka was kind of, you know, she was stirring. She was still laying there. And so the announcers tried to cover for it or explain it by suggesting that, well, maybe she thought that Asuka was playing possum or something. And, I mean, as it turned out, when she jumped down and went to go pick her up, Asuka did trap her in the Asuka lock. I assume that that was the plan. I don't know if something got screwed up here. It was very awkward. So Bliss desperately rolled her body weight back onto Asuka for a near fall. We got a hangman's neck breaker by Asuka that kept Alexa grounded momentarily. Bliss intercepted an attempted running attack and then placed Asuka in a tree of woe and then delivered a drop kick. She headed up top to look for Twisted Bliss once more, but this time Asuka got her knees up on the landing. And then with Bliss now on her knees, Asuka came off the ropes with her Empress Impact finish. She used this on Monday night, and it looked better than it did here. This looked like shit, because it barely connected. And unfortunately, it was the finish. So she covered Alexa Bliss. Basically, it's her version of a running rear view. But like I said, it barely connected. She covered Alexa, and that was enough for her to get the win and advance to the finals of the Queen of the Ring. I thought the match was solid. It was, I wouldn't say more than that. It was a solid enough match. Asuka just came back. So her winning here, I don't want to say it was a foregone conclusion. I could have seen Alexa going to the finals, but it didn't seem very likely. At the very least, Asuka has to at least go to the finals. You know, she just came back after more than a year off. I'm not going to say she's going to win the entire thing, but at least get her to the finals. That seemed like the likeliest outcome here. And now she's going to step into the ring at Night of Champions against the winner of the match, which is coming up this Monday, the other semifinal round match between Jade Cargill and Roxanne Perez. So what we're looking at is very likely Queen Jade or Queen Asuka. Because as somebody who just a few weeks ago said, don't count out Roxanne, don't count out Roxanne Perez, I feel a lot less confident now about that. If Jade wins, all right, let's game this out here. If Jade wins Queen of the Ring, she would most likely face Tiffany Stratton, because she has a title match next week. But she could potentially face Tiffany Stratton at SummerSlam. You could have her get cashed in on by Naomi. You know, whether Jade wins and then gets cashed in on, or, you know, Naomi seizes an opportunity, makes it a triple threat, kind of screws Jade over that way, gets revenge on her. Like, that's one way they could go about doing it. And I'll talk about the title match next week, because that kind of throws a wrench into things, potentially. Or Asuka wins. And if Asuka wins Queen of the Ring, we get a SummerSlam match for the Women's World Championship between Asuka and Io Sky. And I like that idea. I like that idea a lot. So if I had a preferred outcome here, that would be it. We get Queen Asuka and we get Asuka and Io, which I hope we get anyway. Because even if Asuka doesn't win Queen of the Ring, she could still become number one contender and challenge, you know, Io at SummerSlam. That's still possible. But I like that direction a lot. That's what I'm pulling for at the end of all this. Now, in the back, Alexa Bliss was walking, and she was sullen. She was very disappointed that she did not win her match. She got confronted by Chelsea Green and her secret Hervis. Soon, though, they all found themselves joined by Charlotte Flair. Charlotte challenged Chelsea to a match later tonight, and Alexa stated that, "I don't need your help." To which Charlotte said that, "Actually, I wasn't here to help you." By the way, in case you haven't figured it out, these two are totally winning the women's tag team titles at some point in the not too distant future. These are going to be your new women's tag team champions. And by the way, you don't really hear a lot of talk anymore about Alexa Bliss and the Wyatt Six. A lot of people thought that when Alexa came back or moved over to SmackDown, oh, she's going to end up with the Wyatt Six, right? How are they going to do it? Or we didn't see Alexa for a while after she came back, right? We saw her at the Rumble. We saw her at Elimination Chamber. And then no Alexa. And everybody was wondering, how are they going to bring her back? And then they brought her back just randomly on SmackDown one week, I think, to be partners with Zelina Vega. And there's been no mention or any sort of indication that she's going to have anything to do with the Wyatt Six. I hope it stays that way. Because the Wyatt Six right now, they ain't got nothing going on. I know they're getting a tag team title match next week, but boy, you know, the buzz around them has died. It has died a death. And I didn't review SmackDown last week because I was out of town. I wasn't here. But I watched it. I don't know what happened. I mean, they had that match with the Machine Guns. And that was, I mean, that was as sloppy a match as I've seen the Guns a part of maybe ever. Like, I don't know what the hell happened in that match. Maybe they were just rusty, the Wyatts, because we haven't seen, you know, Dexter Lumis and Joe Gacy in action in quite some time. They've been on ice. They've been on the shelf. But man, that match was just fucked. I didn't think that was a very good match at all. But the Wyatts just feel like a dead act right now. And I feel like if you were to involve Alexa in that, it would do more harm to her than it would to elevate the Wyatts. So hopefully we don't hear anything about that. I like what they're doing with Alexa right now, honestly, and the stuff they're teasing with her and Charlotte. I don't think she needs to have any affiliation with the Wyatt Six. Let's keep it that way. Now, we were supposed to get a match between Aleister Black and, boy, this was going to be a hell of a match here. Aleister Black and Kit Wilson of Pretty Deadly. Felt like I was watching a wrestling challenge back in the 90s, only not nearly as good. But I figured, okay, well, I guess it'll be a squash win here, a showcase win for Aleister Black, even though I'm like, this is the best they can come up with for this guy. At least he got an entrance. Kit Wilson did not get an entrance. He was already in the ring. Aleister Black, though, he got his entrance. And by the way, before I even get into what happened here, I see Kit Wilson in the ring, and then I hear the announcers wishing their best and sending their well wishes to Elton Prince. So evidently, he has been injured again. Remember, he got hurt once before, so he's hurt again. I have no idea how it happened. I don't know what the injury is. I don't know when it happened. The last record of any match that Pretty Deadly has had or Elton Prince has been a part of was against Fraxium at the beginning of May, like the week before Backlash. So maybe it happened in that match. I don't recall. Well, actually, was that the match where Nathan Frazier landed on Prince's face? I think it was. I think that might have been the match where I think he may have done a standing shooting star. I don't remember exactly what it was. And I think he landed on Prince's face with his knee. And he got a bloody nose or maybe a broken nose. Somebody can correct me if I'm mistaken here. But I wonder if maybe that's the injury. Although if it was just a broken nose, I mean, he could be on the show. I mean, again, that was a month and a half ago. Maybe he was concussed. Maybe it's a concussion. I don't know. Whatever it was, though, I think that was the match where he got hurt. So whatever it was, it probably was on that spot. In any event, this was going to be a squash, but we never got a match. Aleister Black comes out. He never even got into the ring. And he's standing in the ring, Kit Wilson is, and all of a sudden he gets jumped from behind by Ron Killings. I'm calling him Ron Killings. He was supposed to be Ron Killings. Now they're calling him R-Truth still. He's Ron Killings. Killings jumped him from behind. He put him in an STF. Then he got up out of it, attacking this man in a fit of rage. He lets go of the STF. He takes the microphone. He demands that John Cena come out and face him right now, even though they're supposed to be in the main event at the end of the show. So then we got a combo of security geeks and road agents, including Jamie Noble, trying to talk some sense into this guy, calm him down, get him to leave and go to the back. And Noble got him to exit the ring peacefully. And then they cut to the announcers, who pitched it to a replay of Goldberg's return from Raw this past Monday night. So evidently the match was just called off, and Aleister Black, I guess, had to turn right back around and go back to the locker room. Hell of a night at the office for Aleister Black. There was another segment with him. We'll get to him in a second. But we did have a video package recapping the events from Monday night involving Gunther and the returning Bill Goldberg and the challenge that Goldberg issued to Gunther for a match in Atlanta next month. It will happen. It is official. Saturday night's main event. All In weekend. In fact, the very same day as All In. It will take place. It will be for the World Heavyweight Championship, which was announced in a graphic. Goldberg never said anything about the World Heavyweight Championship at his promo. Not only did he not say anything about the World Heavyweight Championship, there was never any indication in his promo that this was going to be his retirement match, which it's going to be. Like, even when he told Gunther, like, you're next, he didn't say you're last. You know, some indication that this was the end of the road for him. You would just, if you didn't know any better, and you didn't follow things on the internet, you would think that, oh, Goldberg is back, and he's getting a world championship match against Gunther. They have since put a press release out, though, making it very clear, this is, in fact, Goldberg's retirement match. So let there be no debate about that. But just, I don't want to get into this thing. I'll get into it again on Sunday on the podcast, but like the way they put this whole thing together was so fucking stupid. It was so lazy and rushed and stupid. But whatever, the match is official. It's just very odd that all that stuff about it being a retirement match wasn't even alluded to on any of the shows this week. But they could issue a press release with that information. We go backstage. R-Truth is telling Jamie Noble, who's still trying to calm him down, telling Jamie Noble that he wanted to fight Cena right now on the spot. Aleister Black confronts Truth and asks him, "Why are you getting involved in my business?" And Truth says, "Look, it's not personal. It has nothing to do with you. I think it has a lot to do with him. You came out when the guy was making his fucking entrance." But he says, "Oh, it has nothing to do with you." So they had a tense stare down until Damian Priest pops up in between them. And he tells Black, "Look, Truth is going through a lot right now." And he asked to speak with Truth alone. And Black made his exit. Bye! That was the last we saw of Aleister Black on this show. If R-Truth, Ron Killings, does not eat a Black Mass kick very soon, what are we even doing here? I mean, the way things are going with Aleister Black, this is getting pretty ridiculous. He's been back now for a little bit. And it just feels like they didn't really have any plan engineered for this guy when he debuted. How could that be? How could that be? What's the plan here? I mean, they introduced him with The Miz and Carmelo Hayes. Okay. As an introductory program. Whatever. But now we're a little bit in, and I'm not seeing the vision here. Like, what's the plan here? Any indication of anything? Maybe this was an indication that he's going to go heel and he's going to go after R-Truth. Okay, as long as he's going to do something. Because today he did a whole lot of nothing. He was a complete afterthought. So Priest talked to Truth about how Truth, you know, made him smile and he made the entire world smile. He said that he should take all of that anger that he's built up and focus it on John Cena. And then they could go out downtown and celebrate. And Truth said, "That sounds good." And he shook hands with Priest, and off went Damian Priest. After this, we had the American Nightmare, Cody Rhodes, out to the ring next for a promo to address his King of the Ring semifinal match coming up this Monday on Raw against Jey Uso. He did not even get a word out before he was cut off by Jey Uso's music. You cannot escape the yeet. No matter where you go, no matter what show you watch, you may not be a Jey Uso fan. You may actively avoid his entrances or his segments on Raw. But if you do, you will get them on SmackDown and you will like it. Because Rikishi says so. He comes out through the crowd. Everybody is yeeting. 15 minutes and one encore later, Jay finally spoke.
"I have the best moveset."
He said they had the best moveset. And also, he said that they've both been to the mountaintop, but on Monday, there would only be room for one of them. He said he knew that it wouldn't be personal, it would just be business. He said that after they go to war, it would be four letters, one word, and then yeet. I mean, you could, did you even need me to describe this to you? You could tell me. You didn't even have to watch the show. You could recite to me what was said here in this promo. So the crowd yelled yeet along with him. Cody and Jay shook hands. And then they were interrupted by Sami Zayn's music. Still not a word from Cody at this point. Zayn made his way down to the ring. And at this point, it became very clear what we were getting here. We were going to get one of these revolving door promos. He said that it was nice to share the ring with two great friends who are two of the very best that the business has to offer. He said that he'd be lying if he said that he wasn't aware that he was the only one among the three of them to not have won a world championship. He recalled appearing at WrestleMania even though he didn't have to be there because he had no match. But he said, "I had to be there to be the first person to not only watch you win the world championship, but, you know, shake his hand and celebrate with him." And he said, "I'm proud of you." And then he recalled being the first person to get into the ring to congratulate Cody Rhodes after he finished his story last year at WrestleMania. And he said he was proud of him as well. But he said that he hoped they would both understand that now it's time for him to finish his story. And that brought out Randy Orton to the ring. Still no word from Cody. So Orton reiterated to Cody what he said last week about doing whatever it takes to get back to John Cena and win his 15th world championship. He turned his attention to Jey Uso and said that while he had respect for him, it would not be four letters, one word. It would be three letters and one move if he faced off with Jey in the finals of the King of the Ring. Orton then turned to Sami and said he meant every word, that one day Sami Zayn will be a world champion. But SummerSlam will not be that day. That's because tonight he's going to be on the receiving end of the three most dangerous letters in sports entertainment, RKO. And that was the end of the segment. Poor Cody Rhodes got all dressed up and came to the ring and never got to say a single word. And I know all the people that don't like Cody Rhodes will say this was the best Cody Rhodes promo they've ever seen. Literally came to the ring, suit and everything, smile on his face, never said a word. He's totally winning the entire thing. Think about it. Everybody else in this ring who was still in the King of the Ring tournament as of this segment, they got to say something except one guy. That's the one guy that's going to win the entire thing. But this was their way of trying to hype up the remaining King of the Ring matches with each person except Cody. Just coming out and making their case for why they're going to win. There's nothing wrong with that, except that, you know, everything that they did and said here could have been accomplished in a lot less time than it took to get through this segment. But for the people, you know, asking that question, you know, and I'm kind of, you know, joking a little bit, but the reality is this, like, if you're looking at this kind of segment here and you're wondering, why did they do this? Why did we need this? Or, yeah, this could have been a backstage segment, right? This could have been an email. Why do we need the Cody entrance and two Jey Uso entrances and the Sami entrance and the Randy Orton entrance? First of all, this was a 3-hour show. That's one reason. The show is still 3 hours, and we may get fewer segments that feel kind of drawn out like this on a 2-hour show. But the reality is that the fans come to the buildings. This is the reality of it. These fans, and I'm talking specifically the WWE fans, the fans that will pay these exorbitant prices that they charge to go to a WWE show. And it's exorbitant even in the nosebleeds, right? Forget about the lower bowl. These people come to these shows because they want to see the stars. They want to see the stars. They want to see the entrances. They want to sing their songs. They want to chant their chants. That's the experience that they're paying for, you know, by and large, when they come to these shows. So you want to give them the full Cody Rhodes entrance with the whoa and everything else. You want to give them the Randy Orton entrance so they could sing Randy's song to him. You want to give them the Jey Uso entrance so they can yeet when he comes down to the ring. Like, it's part of the whole experience. So when you ask the question why, you could ask it facetiously, but you already know the answer. That's what this audience looks for, you know? It's different than maybe what the AEW or TNA audience would look for. It's just, this is what they pay to come see. Plain and simple. So that's why we got what we got here. But if Cody has something to say, he'll have to say it another day because he didn't have time to say it here. Aleister Black may not get his match here on this show, but the stars are going to come out and they're going to get their damn entrance. So this led into the King of the Ring semifinal match between Randy Orton and Sami Zayn. And I also have to give a quick shout out here to Brandon Proctor. My goodness. Dropped a $50 bomb. Says congrats on 87,000. Well, thank you. Yes, we recently passed 87,000 subscribers. So I appreciate that. Brandon is one of those 87,000. Thank you for the 50 spot, brother. I appreciate that. Randy Orton against Sami Zayn, with the winner advancing to Night of Champions in Riyadh in the finals. Sami looked like at one point he was going to do a dive out to the floor. Orton, though, backed off, which caused Sami to backtrack at the very last second. Orton took his time to get himself back in the ring, and he trapped Sammy in the corner. It led to the referee breaking them up, and Orton gave Zayn a poke to the eye during the scuffle. So the fight moved outside with Orton nailing his trademark announce table back suplex on Sammy. Crowd chanted one more time, so Orton obliged and hit another back suplex, and that took us into the commercial break. SmackDown came back. Orton was teeing off on Sammy, and Zayn's Blue Thunderbomb attempt got thwarted by Orton, who unloaded with clotheslines and a scoop power slam. Orton kept up the momentum with the draping DDT, and he was getting ready for an RKO when Zayn rolled out of the ring to avoid it and got booed for doing so. Orton stepped outside, tried for yet another back suplex on the announce desk. Sammy, though, countered and gave Orton a taste of his own medicine. Back in the ring, Zayn avoided a shoulder charge from Orton, and that sent him into the ring post. So Sammy tried for a Huluva kick, and he got intercepted into a snap power slam. Got a close near fall out of that, did Orton. Orton then dodged a Huluva kick at the very last second. He went for an RKO. Sammy turned it into a Blue Thunderbomb. Orton barely kicked out at the last second. So these two were starting to really cook here in this match. Zayn headed up top, ended up rolling through on a, I guess he was going for a dive, whatever he was going for. He rolled through. Orton's first RKO attempt got blocked. One last attempt, though, sealed the deal for him because Sammy came in for a Huluva kick and Orton dropped him with an RKO. And then he pinned him. And Randy Orton is going to the King of the Ring finals in Riyadh. Second year in a row. He lost to Gunther in the finals last year. And do you remember, it was Triple H, right, in that promo where he said there was some controversy about the finish and whether or not Orton's shoulders were down, which they were not, and they were going to run it back. I don't think they ever did. Well, he'll have his opportunity again this year. Great finishing sequence in this match. It turned into a hell of a match here. Best thing on the entire show, match-wise. One of the best things, period, on the entire show. And, boy, I just think that makes that match coming up this Monday a lot more predictable now because we have Cody Rhodes one-on-one with Jey Uso. I mean, look, it is not impossible. It is not impossible to conceive of another Jey Uso-Gunther match at SummerSlam, which I really don't want to see. But with a Seth Rollins cash-in, yeah, that's possible. That's possible. You would have to. You can't just run Gunther and Jey Uso back again and not have something like a cash. I mean, that would be ridiculous. I just don't have the appetite to see the match again. I've seen it 4 or 5 times now. Like, enough's enough. But I can't completely rule that out as a possibility. But 95%, I mean, Cody Rhodes is going to Riyadh, and he's going to wrestle Randy Orton. And we're finally going to get this Cody Rhodes Randy Orton match. It's going to take place in Saudi Arabia. Boy, you know, the Saudi fans really are getting some big matches, aren't they? They're getting the last John Cena CM Punk match. They're very likely going to get, you know, the first Randy Orton Cody Rhodes match that we've seen since Cody came back to the company, right? Since he came back 3 years ago, he has yet to wrestle Orton one-on-one. And that just seems very likely as your King of the Ring final. And what they can do if they do it, they can use this as the catalyst for an eventual feud between the two of them. You know, especially if Cody goes over on Randy and that doesn't sit well with Randy, they could circle back around to that maybe after Cody wins the championship and then we get a proper feud between them, maybe a heel turn from Orton. So they could use something like this as the catalyst for something bigger, much bigger, later in the year if they wanted to. King Cody, you know, and Cody is one of these people, like, does he need to win King of the Ring? He doesn't need it, but if Cody Rhodes wins King of the Ring, which seems very likely right now, it's a straight line to SummerSlam because they gave away the CM Punk match at Night of Champions. Once they did that, unless they were going to do some kind of celebrity tag team match, which at one point was rumored, you know, possibly John Cena and Travis Scott against Cody and Bad Bunny. I mean, there were all kinds of rumors about, you know, what might be the main event for, you know, one of the two nights at SummerSlam. I have no interest at SummerSlam. I have no interest in seeing that. Cena has to defend his championship. But once they gave away the Punk match, it's like, well, who else even makes sense to put Cena in the ring with for the title at SummerSlam if not Cody Rhodes? Because the end game should always be Cody beats Cena, gets his win back from WrestleMania, learns from the mistake that he made in the WrestleMania main event where he looked like an idiot, you know, for not taking Cena out when he had the chance, and then Cena kicked him in the dick and won the title. Cody has to get his comeuppance for that. The only question is, does it happen at SummerSlam, or does Cena hold it all the way to the end of the year? And then on that last show, that last night, he drops the belt back to Cody. It just feels like something that should be done at SummerSlam. You got to give time for, you know, Cena to see the error of his ways and go back to being a babyface before all is said and done. So, yeah, it would be a straight line. Yeah, he wins King of the Ring. Okay. Now we know what the WWE Championship match is going to be for SummerSlam. It just seems like the most likely scenario. As far as Sami Zayn is concerned, I was a little surprised that he didn't win here. You know, I'm not totally surprised because Randy Orton wrestling Cody. And again, I keep saying that it could be Jey Uso, but I mean, Randy Orton against Jey Uso in the finals. Yeah. I would think they want Cody on that show. You know, they probably want Jey on the show too, but it's a lot easier for me to believe that they would want Cody Rhodes on that show more than almost anybody else. So what do you do with Sami Zayn, right? Do you leave him off the Saudi Arabia show? Now, we had that segment. He's had a lot of segments, but he had one on Raw this Monday in the back with Karrion Kross. So they could set or shoot the angle on Monday to set up a match for Night of Champions between Sami and Karrion Kross. And that could be a way to get Sami on that show and give Kross a match. I don't get the sense that giving Kross a match is Triple H's priority. There has been absolutely nothing done to indicate that he is any kind of priority to Triple H. But it would be a way to get them both a match on that show. So that's one way that they could potentially go with it. So, you know, the vision that I thought, you know, they may have had for Sami was him winning King of the Ring, going on to SummerSlam, Rollins cashes in. It's part of like a longer term story to eventually get Sami to the World Heavyweight Championship. Now he's not even going to the King of the Ring finals, you know, let alone winning King of the Ring. But I still think the vision is there because we have the Royal Rumble next year in Saudi. And I could absolutely still see that being where he earns the right to challenge for the world championship of his choosing at WrestleMania next year in Vegas. So I still think the thing is, they are continuing to push this story very hard on TV. And just logic would indicate they're not pushing this story that Sami is, I'm going to be a world champion. And Randy Orton says, I believe you're going to be a world champion. It's just not going to be at SummerSlam. They keep reminding us of the fact that he has not won a world championship. And he keeps reminding us of that fact. And he keeps telling us that he knows he's going to finish his story and he's going to be a world champion. Like, they don't do that unless the idea is to get the world championship on him at some point down the road. Like, they're telling you what the long-term plan is here. So he's not going to King of the Ring. Okay, well, they'll be back there in January. And you could simply have him win the Rumble and go from there. Right? I mean, the path to Seth Rollins and the World Heavyweight Championship is still solid. I still see that being the end game here. But they have a story that they're pushing. They have to tell that story. Nia Jax is going to be in Riyadh as well, as we would find out here by the time this segment was over. She came out to the ring for a promo. She talked about Tiffany Stratton approaching her for some guidance, you know, back in the day, and she repaid that help by betraying her. So she didn't say much. Before Tiffany came out, she interrupted and described Nia as that toxic ex that she just can't get away from. She says she's better than her. Nia said, well, you should prove it by facing me again without kicking a chair back in my face. And Tiffany said that, you know what, I agree, and that's why next week, I guess she went and asked for the match, and it's been made official. On SmackDown next Friday, they're going to be in Riyadh. That's the night before Night of Champions. And Tiffany Stratton is going to defend her WWE Women's Championship against Nia Jax. Yes, again. And I can't even hate on it because honestly, when we've seen Nia in these matches before, including whatever that last match was she had with Tiffany, the matches have by and large been very good. So I actually expect this match to be really good next week. They're going to have one more match, but it's going to be Last Woman Standing. And I just was like, son of a bitch. I was pitching for that and hoping that they would do that with Becky and Lyra. So instead, they're doing it with Tiffany and Nia and not Becky and Lyra. The two of them, they got into a bit of a tussle. Jax got the better of it, delivered not one, but two leg drops to Tiffany and left the champion laying. And then we heard Naomi's music. And Naomi sprinted down to the ring with her Money in the Bank briefcase. She was going to cash in on Tiffany Stratton. Nia Jax was not going to have any of this, though, because Nia's outside the ring and Naomi's over there outside the ring because Nia pulls her out of the ring. And Naomi is yelling at her. She's screaming at her and she tries to go back in. And again, you know, Nia drags her down. She's wasting time here. The champion is down. So this happens a few times. Eventually, Stratton does get back up. And she kicks Naomi off the apron from behind. And Naomi falls into Nia. And they both fall down on the floor. So Tiffany escapes this week. Will she escape next week, though? That is the question. They're having a Last Woman Standing match. I know it's going to irritate some people who wish it was on the Night of Champions card. It's called Night of Champions. Why wouldn't you have a WWE Women's Championship match on that show? Because it's entirely possible that they're going to close the show with this next week. Now, John Cena, I think, will be on the show next week. I don't see any reason why Punk and Cena won't be there. So maybe they close with them, but I think there's a very good chance they're going to close the show and main event with these two women. They have no chance of main eventing a Night of Champions. But on SmackDown next week, absolutely they can main event. They probably will main event the show. And if they're going to close the show with that match next week, I think that you would have to think that we are very likely going to get at least another attempt, if not a cash-in from Naomi on that championship. I think that there's a very good, better than decent possibility that's what we get next week. You can't dismiss it. I don't want to say that for sure we're getting a cash-in, but like it's all set up for it. Like as soon as they announced that stipulation, I said, okay, it's a hell of a lot better of a chance that we get a cash-in next week than we were going to get tonight. If she cashes in and wins the title, let's say Naomi wins the championship next week, and Jade Cargill goes on to win Queen of the Ring, it would be Jade challenging Naomi for the championship at SummerSlam. I actually think that's the wrong way to go. I would rather it be Naomi cashing in at SummerSlam. I think it would be a situation where she would cash in a way that screws Jade, not cashes in beforehand, and then Jade goes and just wrestles her again like she did at WrestleMania. But do it in a way where Naomi could screw her out of the title, you know, whether she just wins it and immediately gets cashed in on, or again, she cashes in a way that turns it into a three-way and basically steals the title away from Jade, and that's her measure of revenge, you know, for losing at WrestleMania and for all of the shit that the two of them have been through over the last several months. This would be Naomi's way of sticking it to her, you know, and coming out on the end of all of this as the women's champion. I'd rather them do that if they were going to, you know, have her win the championship, do it that way, as opposed to her cashing in next week. But we shall see. That is official now for next Friday. Charlotte Flair against Chelsea Green, still wrestling in her bedazzled face mask because of her nose injury. Green went for an unprettier. Charlotte avoided it, speared her, covered her for a near fall. Charlotte went for the figure eight. She got it locked on, and Chelsea immediately taps out. And just as soon as she taps out, Piper Niven is already, because Piper Niven and Alba Fire were out there. Piper Niven is in the ring. Charlotte is still bridging in the figure eight. And Piper hits a running senton. And when she lands on top of Charlotte, if you go back and watch it, Charlotte's left foot got stuck in the mat. So it looked like her leg got, or her knee got wrenched in kind of a nasty way. And she immediately grabs her knee. And that is the surgically repaired knee. That's where she had the torn ACL, MCL, meniscus, missed over a year. She's got the knee brace on, which is a good thing because I'm thinking that knee brace may have just saved her from another injury. So that was concerning to see that when she started immediately clutching her knee in the same week that Liv Morgan got hurt. But Niven and Alba, they worked her over a little bit until Alexa Bliss ran out to fight them off. Bliss put Green down with a sister Abigail. Once the heels were gone, Bliss extended her hand to Charlotte, who just walked past her and exited the ring. And I think the best takeaway here, the best news coming out of this, is the fact that she was able to walk away at all. So she seems to be okay, which is good, because that could have ended, that leg deal could have ended a lot worse. So the frenemy angle continues here between these two women. And it's honestly more interesting than anything else I think they could be doing right now with Charlotte Flair. I don't know if the end goal is to turn Charlotte babyface. I wish them well. If that's the plan, I wish them well. I'm not saying that it can't work. It's all in the execution. But I am enjoying, what they're doing with these two. They haven't done a lot, but the potential is there, I think, for something that is a lot more interesting than we would ordinarily get from Charlotte Flair. Now, if she just continues to be Charlotte Flair, nothing really changes. I mean, that's kind of lame. But if they work this angle in a way that, yeah, they become friends, they become partners, maybe Alexa gets her to loosen up a little bit. I don't know. I mean, there's different ways you could go with it. I think there's potential there. And I do believe that they will end up as women's tag team champions before long. So I'm curious to see where they take this thing. It's better than almost anything else they could be doing at the moment with Charlotte on this show. As I don't know what else she would be doing on this show. She'd probably be challenging for the championship. And we don't need to see that. Now, JC Mateo was backstage. He was taping up his fists when Solo Sikoa showed up and asked him what he was doing. Mateo said that he was ready to take out Jacob Fatu. Solo said no. He was going to go to the ring to talk to Fatu by himself. When he was the tribal chief, he was the only person that Fatu would listen to. He said that he would talk to him and smooth things over, and Solo was about to leave the room. He stopped himself and kind of looked back and said, just be ready. And after a commercial break, it was Solo Sikoa out to the ring by himself. Look at these people. Not a lot of Charlotte Flair fans in the chat. Char is a big no for me, dog. Hey, Holden Caulfield, yes, I don't know where you've been, but Liv is hurt. She's going to be having shoulder surgery, and you're not going to be seeing her in the ring for a very long time. Yeah, I already have people saying Royal Rumble. Royal Rumble return. Depending on how bad the injury is, I don't even know if she'll be back in time for the Rumble. So we just don't know. We don't know the extent of it, but it's bad enough that she needs surgery. So wishing all the best to Liv Morgan. She was in for a big summer, and now that's all out the window. Solo comes out to the ring. He says that he's here alone and he's ready to welcome Jacob Fatu with open arms. And he called out the United States champion so they could talk things over. So that brought Jacob Fatu out to the ring. Solo said that he wasn't here to fight Fatu because he wanted it to be known that he always loved him no matter what. Solo said that one thing he learned about being tribal chief was learning to love family, even when they fight and they argue. He pledged to move forward and do things together as one. He insisted that nobody wanted Fatu here except him, which is why he brought him to WWE, to help change his life and put food on his family's table. Or as someone once said, put food on your family. And he did all that because he loved Jacob, and he didn't have anybody else to turn to. He said that Fatu was all he got, and it's all he needed. Even if Fatu didn't say those four words, he was willing to say those four words for everybody to hear. And he said, "I love you, Jacob." So then it was Fatu's chance to respond. He said, "So you love me, huh? That's what it comes down to, you loving me? The way I see things is you've been using me. You've been using me to gain power. You've been using me to fight your battles. You've been using me so you could remain tribal chief." He said, "Solo is the one who's been acting differently ever since Fatu won this U.S. championship." He said, "Maybe the problem is the title." And he ripped open the Velcro on the title to lay it down on the mat, which hurts my soul just a little bit every time I hear that Velcro rip. And he placed the title in between them, flat on the mat, and he told Solo to fight him for the championship. Maybe they need to fight for the title. So Fatu then threatened Solo, saying that if he ever came his way, if it ever got to that, then he knows what's coming. Solo tried to attack Fatu with a Samoan spike. Fatu stopped him, gave him a headbutt. JC Mateo entered the ring. He helped Solo take down Fatu. And it was 2-on-1 for a little bit until Jimmy Uso, the man with absolutely no direction whatsoever, he made his way out to the ring because what the fuck else is he going to do? He was probably sitting in the back having a cookie and saw what was going on and said, "Ooh, my brother is out there. I have a reason to go out there and actually put myself in front of the camera on TV and do something and make myself useful tonight." So he made his way out to the ring. He tried to make the save anyway. Mateo and Solo, they got the better of him pretty quick until Fatu recovered and made short work of the two of them. Fatu and Jimmy, they shared a tense stare down. And Fatu went for his mighty moonsault on Solo. Solo, though, rolled out of the ring to safety. I was thinking that maybe it was all just a trap. This whole segment was intended to just deceive Jacob, and Hikuleo was going to show up as Solo's new heavy and attack Jacob Fatu. Because he had, by the way, another dark match. It was either a dark match or a match for the main event taping. Hikuleo was at the show again tonight, as he was last week. And Hikuleo has basically been in witness protection. Samoan witness protection, or Tongan. I guess he's Tongan, right? Whatever the fuck. He's basically Samoan. He's part of the Samoan family now. They've welcomed him with open arms, I'm sure. But he's basically been in witness protection for a year, right? I mean, they signed him a year ago. We have not seen him. We have not heard about him. There have been no sightings at the Performance Center. Everybody shows up at the Performance Center. We get constantly hear reports. This person showed up at the Performance Center. Gail Kim was there this week. I mean, but we didn't hear a word about Hikuleo up until a couple of weeks ago. So why is he now all of a sudden showing up? Why is he now all of a sudden having these main event matches or dark matches before the tapings? Because they're getting ready to debut him finally on television. So I thought we might see him here, and we didn't. But later in the show backstage, Jacob cut a promo on Solo and announced that the match has been made official. And so at Night of Champions, it will be Jacob Fatu defending the United States Championship against Solo Sikoa. And what I would do, and some of you may not like this idea, but if I were Triple H and I'm looking at this, what's the best thing to do here, right? Because they've been building to this match for so long. At one point, I thought it would be the WrestleMania match. You know, not for any titles, but it would be Jacob against Solo. And then they had Solo win the U.S. title from L.A. Knight. And they continued to tease dissension in the ranks of the bloodline, but they have just been milking this thing for all that it's worth. So now, finally, the end of June, we're going to get our first match here between Jacob Fatu and Solo Sikoa. You can't just end it. I know some people wish this whole bloodline thing would end and Jacob would just be set free and he can feud with other people on the show, but not so fast. There's still more meat on the bone here. There's more story to be told. And not only that, but I think you got to do a title change. I don't think Jacob can just go in there and beat Solo, because then it's over. It's over. You have to have Solo beat Jacob and win the United States Championship. And I think that there's a very good chance that's what's going to happen at Night of Champions. And there's also a pretty decent chance that is where we see the debut of Hikuleo. So I think Hikuleo ends up as part of Solo's crew with JC Mateo. Look, they lost Tama Tonga. They lost the great Tonga Loa. So it's basically Solo and JC. It's not even a faction. It's a tag team. It's a guy and his lackey. I mean, it's basically what it is. If you want to continue the bloodline for a little while longer and have an actual faction, you've got to add one more person. Now, Jimmy Uso is hanging around, and Jimmy Uso doesn't seem to have a whole hell of a lot to do. Could Jimmy Uso go back to being a heel and actually take up Solo on his offer to come back into the fold and come back into the family? Sure, but I think that would be fucking lame, and I have no interest in seeing that. I would rather see them debut somebody new in that spot. And like I said, we're not seeing reports of Hikuleo wrestling dark matches for nothing. There's a reason why he's resurfaced, because I think they're getting him primed to make a proper debut. So I think there's a very good chance that's what we're going to end up getting. I would put the U.S. title on Solo, and then what you do at that point is you have Jacob have to go through each member of the bloodline. You know, he's got to go against Hikuleo. He's got to go against JC Mateo to then get back into the ring with Solo, and he can then beat Solo and regain the United States Championship. Whether that happens at SummerSlam or even a little later than that. That's how I think you build that story. And then after he beats Solo, then Jacob can move on. But whether or not you love this story or not, I mean, there's more meat on the bone here, and you've taken up so much time to get to this point, and it's just so predictable if they go in there and Jacob just beats him. So I think Solo needs to win that match. I think he's going to win that title. Jimmy, I don't know. I don't know what you do with Jimmy. Jimmy is a total non-factor. His brother got over. I'm sure he's very happy for his brother. But Jimmy got left out in the cold. And they just don't seem to have anything for him. You know, again, we'll see if he ends up going heel and all this and linking back up with Solo. I just think that would be very lame. But he just has no direction at all. He just has nothing. He has nothing going on at the moment. It's just, he's completely lost. Shin, I hope you're doing well, brother. We're 7 out of 10, by the way, on that bonus goal in the chat. That's awesome. Hey, Shin, thank you. I appreciate that, man. You're awesome. You know what wasn't awesome? This match between Bronson Reed and LA Knight. It was just a match. A very standard, basic match. Knight snuck up on Bron Breakker from the crowd at the very beginning of all this to throw him into the ring post, which angered him greatly. And Reed got Breakker to calm down. The match got underway. Reed blocked an Irish whip attempt, but missed a shoulder charge into the corner, which gave Knight the opening to start stomping away on him. Knight headed up top, caught him with a diving neck breaker. Reed rolled out of the ring. He blocked Knight's basement dropkick attempt through the ropes. Knight tried again for a high-risk move. He connected with the dive onto Reed on the outside. That took us into commercial. We come back from break. Reed is attempting a superplex. Knight broke free. He shoved Reed down to the mat, and he had him in position for that double jump, leaping elbow that he does. Two count only. Knight's BFT attempt got countered, and Reed landed a Death Valley driver for a near fall of his own. He looked for a power bomb, but Knight reversed out of it into a DDT. Breakker got up on the apron, but he got smacked down for his troubles. Here on SmackDown. Uh-huh. See, you guys aren't the only ones with the jokes. That was fucking terrible. I'm sorry. I apologize. So Reed got sent out to the floor, and Knight was looking for a dive, but he never got to do it because Bron Breakker slid into the ring and hit a spear instead. So we got a cheap DQ finish here to this show, a WWE special. So as Reed held Knight in position in the ring, because now it was just gang up on LA Knight time here when the match was over, Breakker ran the ropes and he hit his running super spear to take down LA Knight. Reed then went up to top rope and followed up with three tsunami splashes to LA Knight. Nobody came out to help LA Knight. You know why? Because nobody likes him. He has alienated everybody on this roster. He has made enemies out of everybody. He has insulted everybody. He has no friends. Nobody gives a shit. So nobody came out to help poor LA Knight here. And that was it. Heyman's crew at that point, they left together. This was a very basic match. Paul Heyman delivered on his promise, though, from earlier in the night when he warned him, right? He warned LA Knight that if he stuck around and didn't leave Grand Rapids, things were not going to end very well for him. So they're just putting more heat, you know, on the Heyman crew here. Seth Rollins was nowhere to be seen tonight. But they're just putting more heat on this group, which still has no name, by the way. This felt to me like a way to just take LA Knight off television for a while. You know, when Seth Rollins took those six tsunamis from Bronson Reed, he was gone for a bit. So he took half as many, but still, you know, he got, I mean, literally squashed in the middle of the ring by this man three times. You can't just have him back on TV next week. Like, I don't think he's making the trip to Riyadh. Will we see him back on the show the following week? Maybe. I don't know. I don't know how long they want to keep him out for, but that's what this felt like to me. Honestly, the next time we see him should be on Raw because he's feuding with guys who are on the Raw roster. So the place that it would make the most sense to see LA Knight next would not be on Friday night, but on Monday night. And since we have not had a draft, there's a nasty little rumor going around about a month and a half ago. They were thinking about doing another draft at the end of May, and thankfully that didn't happen because I hate the draft. I don't want to see the draft. There's no need for a draft show. All you need to do is, well, one of two things. If you don't want to open up the transfer portal again right now, fine. You can have the general managers work together. If one guy wants to move to another show, they could work out a deal. One for one, LA Knight moves, and in exchange for LA Knight, somebody moves from Raw to SmackDown, right? You could do that. Or you could open it back up, like I've suggested, which is I like the transfer portal they did at the end of last year. Do a second one. You do one around summertime, right in the middle of the year. You do another one at the very end of the year. Keep it open as long as you need to have it open for a month, 2 months, 6 weeks. And because, you know, look, injuries happen, people get called up, SmackDown goes from 3 hours to 2 hours, things change. And sometimes the orientation of the rosters has to change. It has to be adjusted. So you have an adjustment period and it could be open-ended. And that way you can make whatever moves you have to make without having these lame-ass draft shows, you know, 85% of which are people being drafted to the same fucking show that they're on. Who cares? It's stupid. So I'm glad we didn't get one. And I haven't heard anything about one. And I'm hopeful that we're not going to get one. But LA Knight is an example of somebody who needs to be moved. So the next time I see him, I hope it's on Netflix and not on USA. So the main event was Ron Killings, still being referred to as R-Truth, against the undisputed WWE champion, John Cena. Non-title, of course. But this was Cena's first match on SmackDown in 3 years and could very well end up being the last match he ever wrestles on SmackDown. Again, he's got a very limited number of dates left and he doesn't wrestle on all of those dates. So they may be reserving his remaining dates for PLEs and Saturday night's main event. In fact, his last match will probably, it looks like, be taking place on Saturday night's main event in December in Boston at the TD Garden Arena. So get ready for commercial mania for John Cena's final night. Yeah, that's why I was hoping it would, if not a PLE, they would create some sort of like Netflix special at Netflix, Peacock, whatever. So we could at least try to avoid commercial interruptions for whatever Cena's final night would be. But I don't think we're going to be that lucky. So Killings, he started off hot here by tackling Cena. Because he's being totally serious now. Like the funny R-Truth or the guy who comes out and sings his song and raps on his way to the ring. Like that's gone. He still has the same music because he has said that he wants to keep it. It's his song. Okay. I mean, I would love to have new music for the guy, but if he wants to keep his theme because it's his theme, then cool. I understand that. But he's playing it serious now. And the belief is that when Nick Khan reached out to him to work out a deal to bring him back to the company, one of the things that he insisted upon is that he no longer be the same R-Truth character that he was before, who just was all about comedy. Like, he wants to have a serious run. So that's the version now of Ron Killings that we're getting. So he starts out very quickly tackling Cena and forcing him to the outside. And he goes out after him. Back inside, Killings threw Cena into the corner with authority. He whipped him into that corner. And then 90 seconds into this fucking main event, we go to commercial. I mean, it's not shocking. This is their formula, but like, there's already so many of them on this show. And now John Cena is out there in a rare television match. And it's just right to commercial. So we get picture in picture, at least. We could try to follow a little bit of what's going on here. And in picture, Killings did the John Cena shoulder tackles. He did the Cena spin out powerbomb thing that he does. So when they came back, Cena nailed the five-knuckle shuffle. He attempted an attitude adjustment. Killings, though, escaped, took him down with a Luthez press. Cena rolled out of the ring, and he grabbed his WWE Championship. And he went to go leave. He was teasing that, I'm done. I don't want to do this. He's going to go leave. Killings tried to go after him, and he got blasted with the belt. And that resulted in another lame DQ finish. We got back-to-back lame DQ finishes on this show. I'm okay with doing the occasional DQ. It makes sense to do DQ sometimes. When you get so many of them, especially back-to-back like this, like we did in the LA Knight match and then again here, it is so fucking lame. It really is. So the referee calls for the bell. We got a nothing match and a DQ finish in 5 minutes. Great. At that point, CM Punk's music hits. So this killing stuff with him and Cena didn't matter. It was a means to an end, and the end was what we were about to get, which was CM Punk coming out, chasing John Cena back into the ring. They brawled very briefly. Punk attempted to hit Cena with the WWE title. Cena, though, kicked him in the dick, and then he nailed him with a belt shot of his own. So then he left the ring, and Cena goes underneath the ring, and he pulls out a Slim Jim table. Right? All the tables under the ring now, they have the Slim Jim branding on them. So he pulls out the Slim Jim table, and he sets it up inside the ring. And Cena hits him with the belt one more time, and then he delivers an attitude adjustment through the table, which broke very neatly right down the middle. So it's not enough now that they're branding the tables, but now they're gimmicking them as well. Because this is not the first time that one of these tables has broken very neatly right down them, and so easily, too. Now they're gimmicking the tables as well. So as soon as I saw Cena pull the table out from under the ring, you know, with Punk out there, and they had 12 minutes left in the show, I should point that out, too. When that disqualification took place in the Killings match, it was like, whatever it was, 10:47, 10:49, and I'm like, okay, well, this is not Netflix. They can't just go off the air whenever they want to. So it was pretty clear once I saw the table come out, okay, I know where this is. Because I knew, like, it's that time of year, 14 years ago, the pipe, like, you could tell where they were going with this. Cena grabs a microphone from outside the ring, and he gets back inside, and he sits on top of one of the turnbuckles. And Punk is laying there on the mat. Okay, the table is broken in half, and Punk is laying there on the mat like he's sleeping. And what we got was a John Cena reenactment of the famous pipe bomb promo from 2011 that Punk cut on him. Right now, the tables have, well, no pun intended, the tables have turned now. And this is what he said. He said, Punk, as you lay there in your most uncomfortable, That's what he said. He forgot a word here. As you lay there in your most uncomfortable. Okay. I hope you can listen. I hope you can digest. Because before I leave here in 6 months with my WWE Championship, I got to get a whole lot of stuff off my chest. First things first, I don't hate you. I don't even dislike you. I like you. I like you more than anyone you've ever shared a locker room with, that's for sure. I hate this idea that you're the best in the world. You're not. I am. I'm the greatest of all time. You're better than me at one thing. You're the best bullshitter in the world. And they didn't censor it. And he's like, oh no, kiddos. John Cena just dropped a curse word. That means the show is completely off the rails. And then he told his buddy Stu, he goes, hey, Stu, shoot this. I'm breaking the fourth wall. I was hoping we'd get a Colt Cabana mention here. Oh, my God. We did not get a Colt Cabana mention, though. That would have been funny. He says, the truth is, Punk, I'm jealous of you. I'm jealous that you have conned these people into believing the myth that you're the best in the world. They chant for you. When you come out, they sing to you. But they don't believe a goddamn word you say because you change your values as much as I change my t-shirts. You're just a loudmouth opportunist who will step on the necks of people who work hard if it actually gets you ahead. Hey, Claudio Castagnoli. Hey, Nick Nemeth. Hey, Matt Cardona. How you doing? Yeah, I actually said Claudio Castagnoli. He didn't say Cesaro. He didn't say Dolph Ziggler. He didn't say Zack Ryder. He called them by their names. And of course, when you do that, fans oohed and they ahed. Oh my God, he called them by their real names. They love that shit. Wrestling fans, they lap that shit up. They love that. Same, they say the names of people that aren't with the company anymore. So that's a surefire way to get wrestling fans very excited. So Cena got excited too. The fans weren't the only ones to get excited. Cena got excited. He said, oh, he's heating up. He's on fire. And there's nobody back there who's going to cut my mic to save your ass because I'm your only friend. Remember who gave you the stage to cut your pipe bomb, pal. And what have you done with it since then, huh? You've just regurgitated the same five microphone moves of doom. You're a promo potato salad, pal. You're no longer the voice of the voiceless. You're a friggin' millionaire. You're not Punk. You're capitalist. And you're not against TKO, dude. You're Mr. TKO. Because they knocked your balls technically off your body. Your tweets are strong. He doesn't tweet anymore, by the way. Just for the record. I don't think he's tweeted in years. Your tweets are strong. Your actions are weak. And in Saudi Arabia, you're going to face some loud music when I finally prove to the world, no days off, for 25 years, I have been the greatest of all time. And at this point, the crowd in unison begins to chant Cena. It's not Cena sucks. It's not let's go Cena, Cena sucks. Like they are chanting and cheering for John Cena. See, they now I should point out to you that CM Punk is still laying in the middle of the ring, like eyes closed, almost unconscious. He's just laying there. Again, when they did the original pipe bomb, at least Punk had enough sense to go to the stage. And Cena, at some point, he sat up in the ring and was actually watching and paying attention to what Punk was saying. It was not quite as ridiculous as what this was. So Punk is still like practically laid out here in the middle of the ring. So they're chanting for Cena. He says, see, they know, and they know that you were the best in the world for 7 minutes, 14 years ago. And if after Night of Champions, you're still delusional enough to believe that you're the best in the world, well, I guess it's a small world after all. You're welcome, Grand Rapids. And the entire building popped. And we got more cheers of Cena. Because you're A-game to Night of Champions, because as you can tell from the reaction here in Grand Rapids, the mood is starting to change. Was he Taz now? The mood is about to change. Is Cena going to come out in Saudi with the black towel on his head and the singlet like Taz? That'd be kind of funny. So the referee at this point, actually referee gets into the ring finally to assist CM Punk, who is still laying there. And Cena begins to hype up the match for next weekend. It's CM Punk against the last real champion, blah, blah, blah. He goes, I know you will sing, I know you will chant, but I know even you idiots are smart enough to see the truth. The champ is here. He said, hey, USA, you can keep the extra 2.5 minutes. I don't need a bomb. And then whatever he said, they partially censored it, but we got to hear him say mother fudgin', which I think they meant to censor that as well, but they did. So I don't know what he said here. I tried to read his lips and I couldn't make out exactly what he was saying. But I heard him say mother fudging building. And nothing says cool and badass like saying mother fudging during a promo. I felt like I was transported back to 2008 when he was cutting promos and saying bologna fudge and mustard. Yeah, that wasn't one of the finer moments of this promo here. So Cena dropped the mic. He went to go leave. Then he went and picked it back up and he told Punk, who was still sleeping, thanks for letting me rip off your promo to make you look even more foolish. And then they played Cena's music and he posed on the ropes with the WWE title as Punk continued to lay there in the rubble of the world's most dangerous table. Never has there been a more devastating table bump than the one that CM Punk took tonight on this show. If this was a last man standing match, he would have lost. If this was an Iron Man match, Cena could have pinned him 20 times. He would have lost. Punk would have lost. The fans here, they treated Cena like a total babyface. And honestly, it was the best thing that he has done since turning heel. But I always figured if you can just get these guys back together for one last match, one last feud, one last promo battle, that is going to bring out the best in John Cena. And look, Punk working with Drew McIntyre is another example. Those two guys brought out the best in each other. You know, Punk has had some of those feuds since he has come back. But with Cena, there was always just a chemistry and a magic there between them that not all the top guys necessarily have. So I was hopeful we would get this at SummerSlam. I didn't think we were going to get this at fucking Night of Champions. But here we are. And it sounded like maybe the most motivated Cena has sounded. It was the best thing that he has done since turning heel. But I don't want people to hear that and think that I thought this was, oh my God, this was excellent, it's fantastic, the promo of the year. It wasn't. He turned the tables on Punk by regurgitating a lot of the same shit that Punk said to him all those years ago. But the story they're telling here is that he has turned the tables on Punk and is using Punk's own words and actions to prove what a hypocrite he is. The CM Punk that cut that pipe bomb and sat on that stage in Vegas back in 2011 would hate the person that CM Punk has become today. And the cherry on top is just Cena forcing him to have to travel all the way to Saudi Arabia after the comments he made years ago. He has to go to Saudi Arabia next weekend if he wants to wrestle him for the WWE Championship. That aspect of the story, again, I think is very clever. Clever way to go about doing it. But again, I'm not going to glaze this thing like I'm sure a lot of people are. It was decent. You know, it got a good reaction and it wasn't anything earth shattering. It was a cheap knockoff of the original pipe bomb promo. It's like making a photocopy of something, you know, it's never going to be as good as the original. And that was certainly the case here. But that's what they're doing with this story. With Punk and Cena. All those things you've said, you're a hypocrite. I'm the best in the world, not you. I've proven that you are a phony, you're a fraud. And on top of everything else, you're a hypocrite. It's all the things you've said before, all the things you say now, they run counter to what you would have said 10, 15 years ago. You are no longer that CM Punk. You are no longer the anti-authority guy. You are no longer the voice of the voiceless. You are no longer speaking for the little man. You are no longer representing the underdog. You're a millionaire. You know, you are everything that you hated before. You're on the posters and the cups and everything else. And you look out for one person. You don't look out for all the mid-card people on the roster. You look out for yourself. And that's it. Well, it's like Punk said. I'm surprised he didn't even draw attention to that. But you know, it's like when Punk came back and he said, I'm not here to make friends. I'm here to make money. Right? That's what he's all about. So that's the story they're telling going into this match here. But this segment here, to me, it was another illustration of why this is a failed heel turn for John Cena. You know, people may have had fun with the segment, but listen to the reaction that he got when he was talking and saying the things that he was saying. He was getting cheered like a babyface multiple times. Multiple times. He was stopped because the fans were cheering for him. These people want to cheer for John Cena because they don't have a lot of time left to do so. You know, every place he goes is the last time he's going to be there to begin with. But they want to be able to celebrate this guy, you know, and enjoy what little time they have left with him. But up to this point, it just has felt like this has been a very half-hearted heel turn. They did not have a plan. That's the thing. They knew that John Cena was going to have a retirement year a year ago. And you would think, like, one of the biggest stars in the history of your company, that you would map this shit out, like, month by month. Okay, here's what we're going to do with you. Step by step. Let's storyboard this whole thing. And it just felt like, you know, and even to hear them tell, like, what happened heading into WrestleMania and everything, and interviews that have been done with different people, and Triple H himself, comments that Triple H made even before WrestleMania, like, oh, it was my idea. You know, I was the one who pitched the idea that, hey, why don't we have John Cena turn heel? And this all happened in, like, February. So, like, we saw what we saw in Toronto at Elimination Chamber, and everybody got all excited about The Rock and Cena and just, you know, that shot of them together in the ring. And that was a great angle. It was one of the best angles they've done. But there was no follow-up. There was no follow-up plan. They did it, and it's like we're going to piece this together as we go along. And I just think for someone in the position of a John Cena, it's almost inexcusable that you didn't have a better plan for this in advance. Can't just blame that on The Rock. You know, that's on Triple H and WWE Creative and everybody involved in this process. So I feel like that's one of the biggest reasons why this John Cena thing has felt so hollow this entire time. Like, it just hasn't felt like his heart is into it. And maybe tonight was the first time where it felt like maybe that wasn't the case. You know, he was definitely out there having fun with it. But up until this point, that's not been the case. It's been very underwhelming. And I don't know that this is going to mark some kind of turnaround. Now the heel turn, now the heel turn's going to hit, you know, hyperdrive. I don't think so. But at least the stuff with Punk, though, you know, should be very good. Now, I hope that we get a retort from CM Punk next week, whether it's on Raw or it's on SmackDown. Put a mic in his hand, let him go, you know, out there and say his piece to John Cena, because it's what he does best, right? Reacting and responding to a promo like this. So hopefully we get that. But the days of Cena turning back babyface, it's basically a countdown at this point, because you know it's coming. It's just a matter of when. Just counting down the days. Poor R-Truth, he just vanished in all this. I mean, talk about not having a plan. I mean, are you really surprised? R-Truth is not supposed to be there. They were pressured into bringing him back. They had no plan for him. So, like, this is not surprising. Guy cut his hair off. And he got another match with John Cena, which somehow was even more of a waste than the first match with John Cena. So I don't know what that means for his future. I think he's going to be eating a Black Mass kick in the next few weeks from Aleister Black. That's what I think is going to happen. But just remember that. They got pressured into bringing Ron Killings back. They had no plan for him. I have people asking me if I think that maybe they could do a story with him, or the longer-term plan is to get him to the WWE Championship. Like, no. No. There is no plan for that. I promise you, there is no plan for that. Now, next week on SmackDown, they're going to be in Riyadh, because next Saturday is Night of Champions. But next Friday, it's all title matches they announced so far. We have Zelina Vega defending the United States Championship against Julia. So this may be that title change that I figure we were going to get. I mentioned this before, Money in the Bank, even. Like, you need to build to Julia taking the U.S. title from Zelina Vega. Like, the title will be in better hands with Julia because the fans have not invested in Zelina. She goes out there to crickets. The title is dying on the vine. You got to get it on somebody who you know they're going to push. And there's already reports that they have plans for like a big Julia push. So I didn't know if they would get to the match this quickly, but they should do a title change. We need a new U.S. champion next Friday. The Street Profits are going to defend the tag team titles against the Wyatt Six, Joe Gacy and Dexter Lumis. And then we have Last Woman Standing with Tiffany Stratton defending her WWE Women's Championship against Nia Jax. And I would expect Cena and or Punk to be on the show as well because it's 24 hours before Night of Champions. So that is the lineup for SmackDown next Friday. Let's take a look at the Twitter poll and see what the results are. What did you think of SmackDown from Grand Rapids? 81% thumbs up, roughly 19% thumbs down. I guess a lot of people enjoyed that Cena promo. It's probably where a majority of that is coming from. But you can go vote at Solomonster on Twitter. Let's get to your messages here. Got a bunch of them to go through. I see we're 8 out of 10 on that bonus goal in the chat. So thank you for that. See if we get two more of those. It's been a hell of a week on all of the streams. I appreciate all the support. Ending the week strong. Let's talk about this message here from Havili. I mentioned him before. He dropped the bomb before I went live tonight. Nice big red bomb. Havili, if you're still with me, thank you, brother. All the way from Brisbane, Australia. And when he sent me this message, he mentioned it's Saturday, the 21st of June. And he said, today is my birthday. So again, I don't know if he's here with us right now, but everybody wish Havili a very happy birthday. I don't know how old you are turning, Havili, but I hope it is a great birthday. Whatever age you are officially now going to be. But he says, buy or sell Brett versus Owen or Brett versus Davey Boy? Brett versus Owen. Who is your celebrity crush? I mean, I had a big crush on Miss Elizabeth. Celebrity crush? I had a bunch of them. But I had a really big one on Jennifer Love Hewitt back in the day. What was your thought on Three Live Crew in TNA? Not a fan. And most likely to be in the WWE Hall of Fame next year. I'll say it every year. Demolition. It's got to happen one of these years, right? Now they have that Legends deal, so. Demolition, I hope. Terrible Dried Chicken says WWE main roster creative needs more grit. USA Network and WWE could actually bring SmackDown back to 2 hours because there's a new series called The Rain. Yes, I talked about this already. SmackDown will be 2 hours on July 4th. Beyond that, we'll wait and see. There is a new show starting that's not until mid-August, though, but they will be at least on July 4th. I don't know about the following week, but July 4th is a taped show, and they're going to be back to 2 hours that night. So get the party started. Get the party started. That's what I say. WWE Wrestling and Gaming, when did John Cena become the face of the company? 2005. They basically anointed him. Between the two champions, him and Batista, it just always felt like Cena was that guy. Holiday 197, hey Solo, SummerSlam needs to be the catalyst for some big feuds and storylines in late 2025. I think a Cody and Randy feud should be one of them. I don't think you need to wait for SummerSlam. If you do Cody and Randy in the King of the Ring final, that could be the catalyst right there. Hey Rudy. Pair of super chess. Thank you, Rudy. Alexa and Charlotte against Chelsea and the Secret Hervis. I mean, that sounds Sounds like a television match to me. That ain't no PLE match that I would ever see, but you could do that on SmackDown 1 week, I suppose. Holiday 197 with a little bomb here. Predictions for SummerSlam. Cena versus Cody, Gunther versus Punk, Roman versus Seth, Io versus Asuka, Tiffany against Jade, against Charlotte, against Alexa in a four-way. Batu against Solo, Dom against Finn, Sammy against Logan. Rhea against Stephanie, Breaker Bronson against LA and Jay. And Randy against Drew, Becky against Bailey. A lot of that's not going to happen, but I mean, some of that, you know, like Cena, Cody, maybe even Gunther and Punk, Roman and Seth, Io and Asuka, all very possible. But I don't see Rhea against Stephanie at SummerSlam. I don't see Sammy and Logan. Randy and Drew. I don't even know if Drew will be back by then. But a lot of the other ones I think are workable. I think those are realistic. Hold on here. Let's scroll back. I'm still working off the early ones before we get to the ones on screen, so bear with me here. JS Warrior 19. If I hypothetically attended SummerSlam, it would cost me over $1,900 doing the bare minimum flight tickets, hotel cost, and two night ticket combos, not included car rental and food budget. Looking forward to sound off 9/17. Yeah, it'll cost you, especially if you have kids. It's going to cost you some money. They want a premium experience is what they're going for. You're going to pay premium prices. JS Warrior says USA Network had heard Solid Monster's criticism of 3-hour SmackDowns and of its TV program scheduling of Law & Order SVU and made a new show out of spite. Well, no, if they wanted to spite me, they would have added an extra hour. We would have had 4-hour SmackDowns. Holiday says a good way for wrestlers to disarm or quiet the what chant would be to respond to the crowd with idiots say what. They would still say it. They would still say it because they are idiots. So, unfortunately, it wouldn't work. It wouldn't work. Havili. Have you watched Karate Kid and Favorite One? I saw the original, and I saw the one with Hilary Swank, which I probably should not have seen. That's about it, though. I didn't see the other sequels. I haven't seen Cobra Kai. I know I probably should. Instead of Sammy, who should have been the one to beat Gunther for the Intercontinental Championship? Whoever I recommended at the time, it probably was Sheamus. There's a story to be told with Sheamus, and they're just not getting to it yet. But there was also a story with Chad Gable, and they didn't pursue that either. Either one of those would have been great. Could you see a possibility of a tag team Solo and JC Mateo against Fatu and Jimmy Uso at Night of Champions? No, because we're actually getting a U.S. title match at Night of Champions. But you know what, though? I could see that match being added to SmackDown next week. That tag match. But we're getting a title match at Night of Champions. Larcity with a $10 super chat. Now we're caught up here to the on-screen ones. Oh, wait, no, we're not. Larcity sent another one. Okay, we're not there yet. We're working our way through. Larcity says, John Cena's heel turn is almost as disappointing as The Last of Us Season 2. Oh, come on now. I love The Last of Us. I don't know what all these people are talking about. I think it's fucking great. I enjoyed it. I'm just pissed we have to wait 2.5 years to get the next season. By the way, can't wait for your watch along of the 30-year anniversary of King of the Ring 1995. A true classic. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it's a classic steaming pile of garbage is what it is. One of the truly one of the worst shows that the company has ever done. Alexander, how is the Money in the Bank briefcase any different than attacking someone in the back of the arena for the hardcore title back in the day? Naomi can cash in on Tiffany in the back, so long as a referee is present. Have they ever established that as a rule? That it has to be in the ring? I believe it has to be in the ring. Maybe not, though. I don't know. Have they ever formally told us whether or not you can literally cash in, like, at the airport? Anywhere you want? Joseph Stewart, did you know that today Batman and Robin was released in theaters on this day in 1997? I did not know that. Thank you for that bit of information. I did not know that. Larcity. All right, now we're caught up to what you see on screen here. Fun fact, the narrator of Forensic Files, Peter Thomas, also narrated the Monday Night War DVD. Since I heard you watched foreign language shows, do you have any favorite foreign language films? Thank you. Foreign language films. I think most of it is reserved for TV shows for me. I'm sure I do have some that I enjoyed. I'm blanking on them. When I think of like foreign language shows, more so than films. There's some Korean shows. Well, I mean, Squid Game is one. Can't wait for the third season, final season of Squid Game, by the way, on Netflix, drops next Friday. If you enjoy that, by the way, if you enjoy Squid Game, there's another show on Netflix that I love called Alice in Borderland, and that's also getting a third season in September, I believe. But there's a great show called Dark, which is a German show that is fantastic. I always tell people too, like, when you watch these things, you really should watch them with the subtitles and not the American dub, because they suck. I mean, some people hate watching TV shows and movies with like the captions on the screen or the subtitles, but you really should. And just listen to it in the native language. It's so much better that way. There's a show on Netflix called Money Heist that I'm also a big fan of. And that's had a whole bunch of seasons at this point. Then there was a spinoff. Spinoff or prequel. Well, it had to be a prequel. I won't spoil why. I don't know. I'm thinking of a lot of the shows. The movies, I don't know. Train to Busan, maybe? I don't know. I don't know. I have to think about it. Joseph Stewart, do you remember Midnight? She wrestled in WCW in late 1999 and early 2000. She was a bodybuilder and she teamed up with Booker T. No. I don't. I remember Medeja. Is that who you're talking about? I don't know. I don't know who Midnight is. Ed K. Is Charlotte getting any reaction? It feels like this iteration is DOA, and she's too one-dimensional for any fans to care. She is. Her character is very one-dimensional. That's why I think this pairing with Alexa could potentially work. It could be something interesting. I mean, that's up to Triple H and Road Dogg and whoever's writing this show on Fridays to make it interesting. I don't necessarily have a lot of faith. Joseph, I've been watching late 1999 WCW this week. My condolences. And was Vince Russo trying to punish Norman Smiley? He was featured a lot, and I watched Norman Smiley versus the Kiss Demon. I said punish, he said push. Was Vince Russo trying to push Norman Smiley? Not punish. Yeah, he was trying to push him. He got a decent push there for a while in WCW. Norman Smiley was actually one of the few truly entertaining parts of late stage WCW. Blue Jay, did people forget how Regal schooled Goldberg? I didn't forget. Mr. Rod with the 20. I'm going to get killed for this, but just my personal opinion, I wasn't feeling the Cena promo. Clever, yes. Still, I wasn't feeling it. You're not going to get killed by me. That's more or less what I said. But, you know, everybody will glaze it and put it over. And look, if they enjoyed it, that's fine. I'm just telling it to you like it is. Larcity with the 10. I'm going to take a wild guess and say the Ding Dongs are not in Tag Team Be the Booker. No, they're not. Rank who goes into the Hall of Fame the soonest. Jim Cornette, Demolition, Chris Jericho, and The Big Show. I'm actually going to say Demolition. And then I'm going to say Demolition, then Jericho, then Big Show, and then Cornette last. Dark Effect, I don't hate you, John. In fact, I like you a whole lot more than some people in the back. What I hate is this idea that you're the best. To this day, the pipe bomb is my favorite promo in wrestling history. Nothing touches it. You should check out my top 9 countdown of the greatest promos in WWE history. Back many years ago. I think I even have a playlist here on the channel devoted to it. Pipe Bomb is on there. Duff's Vids with the 1999. Has Goldberg ever lost a one-on-one championship match since his return? If not, yes. He lost at the empty arena WrestleMania to Braun Strowman in front of no fans. That's when he beat The Fiend, and they were going to have him lose it to Roman. Roman didn't work WrestleMania that year, so he lost it to Strowman instead. But he says, if not, and Gunther beats him, could we get promos from Gunther saying he's the only one to beat Goldberg in a championship match because he's the ring general? No, because I told you, there's already been somebody that has beaten him, so... That story goes out the window. Mr. AJ Allday. I'm glad you told the truth about the Cena promo. It was good, but it wasn't all that great like everybody is saying. Thanks for all you do. Need Cena to turn back babyface already. He will. Just gotta wait it out. But it's coming. It's coming. Justin G, I checked Titan TV Guide for July 4th. 2-hour SmackDown. Yes. As I have confirmed, if nothing else, we are getting a 2-hour SmackDown on the 4th of July. We will all declare our independence from 3-hour SmackDowns. Cheers. Duff's Vids, why can't dogs dance? They have 2 left feet.
not one of the better ones.
Lost Dill from the 1999. Heard that Bret Hart did an interview or a podcast where he said, if you told Bill Goldberg he was performing on Saturday's main event, he'd call you back and ask you what day it's on. No, he didn't. Did he say that? Somebody send me that link. I need to hear this. That's like an old joke, though. Like, there was a joke, it takes you 2 hours to watch 60 minutes. If Brett said that, though, I need to hear this. Duff's Vids, what's worse than biting into an apple and finding a worm? Biting into an apple and finding half a worm. That would be pretty bad. That would be pretty bad. And I would be doubled over in the bathroom trying to retrieve the other half. Larceny with the $20 super chat. Here's to a bonus Be the Book. Oh, we hit the goal. We did. We unlocked a bonus round of Be the Bookers, so we're going to be doing that. And to the Solomonster Mattress Fund, please get some sleep. By the way, buy or sell on your favorite horror movie protagonist, Dr. Sam Loomis from Halloween or RJ McCready from The Thing. I got to go Dr. Sam Loomis. I love The Thing, but I got to go Dr. Loomis. Duff's Vids, I met this girl named Bree last night. She was a little cheesy. Why is Cinderella bad at playing soccer? She keeps running away from the ball.
You suck!
Yes, Daddy Ugarte, I heard that one too. Yo mama's so dumb, it took her hours to make minute rice. That's another old one, yes. Oh, I love it. Brandon Proctor, thank you, brother. 37 months of channel membership. Holiday 197, the Cena pipe bomb seemed off to me. I get he was trying to mimic Punk's pipe bomb almost word for word, but he could have made it his own and made it more savage. I know he has it in him. You mean you didn't enjoy the line about the mother fudging building? You didn't like that? Brandon Proctor with a 50. I didn't get a chance to say it, but congrats on 87K. Thank you, brother. I watched the Cena promo. I thought it was great. They're actually going to get me to watch one of these Saudi Arabia shows. Yeah, I mean, hey, they're getting a big match. Potentially two really big matches if we get Cena and Orton, Cody and Orton in the finals of the King of the Ring, which I think is very likely. Dev to Dust, today is the 50th anniversary of Jaws being released in theaters. Happy birthday to the greatest shark movie ever made. Kept a lot of people out of the water for a long time. I wasn't among the living when the movie came out, but I've seen it plenty of times. One of the greatest movies ever made. Bobby Means with WrestleMania and SummerSlam now two nights. Could you see the Royal Rumble, Money in the Bank, and Survivor Series moving to the two-night formula? I'm pretty sure I was pretty much on the ball with this, telling you guys that SummerSlam, the Rumble. Rumble's next. Like, not a doubt in my mind the Rumble's next. But I told you this would happen. So this should not be a surprise. I said the Rumble's next. And Money in the Bank likely comes after that. None of this is surprising to me. So the SummerSlam experiment would have to be a total failure for them not to pursue this for the Royal Rumble sometime in the next 3 years. Like, it's going to happen. And you'll have the Women's Rumble on one night and the Men's Rumble on the other night. This is inevitable. Duff's Viz, why did the snowman get kicked out of the grocery store? He got caught picking his nose. I got that one. I got that one. Shin Superkick Akuma with the $30 super check. Congrats, Solo, on keeping this train going. Also, the best times to hear the streams are in the morning with a cup of coffee. That sounds great. I don't drink coffee, but I would imagine that if you drink coffee, the sound off goes pretty well with a good cup of coffee. Some good Java. So enjoy. I'll have the audio up in the morning for all the people who want to listen to the audio. Once I strip out all the super chats. And yes, I do that one by one. Try to strip out all the audio ones. So editing those shows takes me quite a while. But I do it for you. Death to Dust. Solomonster looks like a young Tom Thibodeau. Please Google Tom Thibodeau with a mullet. He kind of looks like you. I've never had a mullet. Solomonster with a mullet is something this world should never have to suffer through. Game Chit with a $5 super chat. What's good, my man? Listen, if you had a book Mario against Luigi in a blow-off to a blood feud, who's going over? Oh, Luigi. Luigi's a sick fuck, man. You don't know about Luigi's history of extreme violent wrestling matches. Luigi has seen some shit. Luigi did a tour for Onita many years ago. A lot of people don't know this. I'm going with Luigi. He'll do whatever it takes. I'm actually offended that I was even compared to Tom Thibodeau because I've never lost my job before. Base Beerus. Punk will shake hands and take pics with Saudi royals. And I'm sure that there'll be a lot of people getting a lot of mileage out of those photos if that happens. Holiday 197. Thoughts on the possibility of Cena retiring as champion and then vacant WWE title is on the line in the Rumble and Sammy wins in Saudi. Cena turns face and places the belt in the ring on his last day. Thanks, I hate it. I hate that idea. Cena needs to lose the championship to someone, probably Cody, before he leaves. Period, end of story. This is not Sting and Darby, you know, winning the tag team titles and then holding on to them and Sting retiring as a tag team champion. Like, this is a little bit different. I think that would be a bad idea. I would not do that. Eminem. After a long day working with no energy, I could use a Mentos. If we get Orton and Cody at the King of the Ring final and Cody wins, do we see the Orton heel turn or Triple H inserts Orton into the Cody Cena rematch and turns it into a three-way? I mean, I think we need an Orton heel turn, so otherwise there would be no point in inserting him and making it a three-way unless there was a reason. You know, somebody wanted him in that match. A three-way doesn't really make any sense to me. So, no, it's not going to be a three-way. And even if he goes heel, I don't necessarily think it's going to happen like at Night of Champions. You know, it could be kind of a slow burn kind of thing for a few more months. And then once Cody wins the belt back, maybe then Orton gets the drop on him. And then you kind of go from there. Retro KOH, if Bronze Breaker gets the SmackDown on Fridays, I'm afraid to know what he gets on Mondays. If Bronze Breaker gets the SmackDown on Fridays, I'm afraid to know what he gets on Mondays. Retro KOH, thank you again. Nick Grosso, Ethan Page, and Ricky Saints are rumored to be potential members of the Rollins group. What are your thoughts? I like Ricky Saints joining because he's a better heel than a face, and it puts him in a big spot. I mean, I'll comment more on the specifics of this on Sunday, but, you know, I think that they have not done a great job yet, frankly, with the people they have. I would focus more on, like, the guys that are in the group now before I start adding people, you know, because I'm not totally sold yet. Like, we don't even, we hardly even hear from, like, Breaker and Bronson and, you know, I'm not, like, overly enamored, frankly, by everything they've done with the existing guys so far. So the idea that they're just going to throw more people in there, if Paul Heyman and Seth Rollins are the ones who are doing the bulk of the talking, like a guy like Ricky Saints, that's his strong suit. How much, you know, talking time is he going to get if you just throw him into a faction like this? Is it just going to be Team Taz all over again? So I'm not really enamored with the idea, to be perfectly honest with you. Not yet, anyway. Creflo says, coincidentally, it was Cena versus R-Truth when Punk had his pipe bomb. Cena mentioning Nick Nemeth and Matt Cardona was genius, whether intentionally or not. Yeah, you know what? I didn't even realize that. Nick and Matt, yeah. I don't know if that was intentional. It's a good question. I don't know. He mentioned Claudio, too. But the Nick and Matt connection, I didn't put that together until just now. Yeah, I mean, yeah, again, that faction doesn't even have a fucking name yet. Can we get them a name first? And not the Vanguard or whatever the hell that Paul Heyman said a few weeks ago. It's so stupid. The Vanguard of WWE. Like, what the fuck does that even mean? Justin G. Top two promos except Cena's masterpiece tonight. Cena's masterpiece tonight? It's not even in the top 10, brother. Again, you got to check my top nine list of promos that are on the channel. EJ Slim, Cena needs to open his next promo saying, do I have everybody's attention now? He should have said that tonight. Duff's Vids with a 19.99. The only way SmackDown goes back to 2 hours is if the ratings drop like a stone after 10 p.m. Till then, 3 hours it is. I'm cautiously optimistic. Cautiously optimistic that everything we're hearing is true. Arabian Night, I hope going back to 2 hours is good. Because at the moment, we're barely seeing Phoenix, Black, Andrade, Melo, Julia, and the tag division. But we get a long yeet entrance. Well, they're going to have to scale back on that when they go back to 2 hours now, aren't they? They're not going to have the luxury of just throwing everybody on Raw on SmackDown. That's their challenge going forward. Actually make use of the roster they have on Fridays with the now limited amount of time that they have as compared to what they had before. No one said the job was going to be easy, but that's their job now. Yeah, we haven't seen Rey Fénix. The show is still 3 hours, mind you. And we have not seen Rey Fénix lately. We saw him at Worlds... No, we didn't. Yes, we did. We saw him at Worlds Collide. When was the last time we actually saw him on SmackDown, though? Let's not pretend that these problems don't already exist at 3 hours. I'm not saying they're necessarily going to get better at 2. But it's not an issue of 2 hours or 3 hours. To simply blame it on that is to let the creative forces there off the hook for doing a poor job with a lot of the talents that are currently on their roster. Regardless of the length of the show, that's something they have to do better at. Venom Kitetsu, Doom or Wolfenstein 3D? Doom. I'm a Doom guy. Shake it, baby. Tongaloa Superfan, we're getting close to Tongaloa's return. Maybe we should reflect on his run so far. What are your top three Tongaloa moments so far? I have too many to count. Well, by far, my favorite one was him What did he punch or headbutt his brother in the dick? I think he accidentally punched his brother in the dick when Kevin Owens was teasing a package pile driver, I believe, on Tamatanga. My second favorite moment is probably his debut, where he was to have rolled out from under the ring and break up a pinfall attempt. This might have been on the France show last year, Backlash, in Lyon, France. And he was late. He was late on the spot. And I don't have a top three. Those are my two favorite moments from Tongaloa. Eminem says boom. There goes double Be the Booker. You want a boom? There's a boom. Yeah, we're doing double Be the Booker here. 10 out of 10 on the goal. EJ Slemp, last Sunday was the 20th anniversary of the release of Batman Begins, and today is the 50th anniversary of the release of Jaws, which is insane. A lot of anniversaries. You know, there's another anniversary this week. The 18-year anniversary is something far worse. There's the Benoit murder-suicide. 18 years ago this week, coming up. Ian Gomes, if there was a donation battle royal of all your top Super Chat donors, who would have won? David Thiering, Paul Hamilton, ABK, Havili, etc. ABK probably has the record. Shout out to ABK, wherever he may be. Otherwise, I don't want to just narrow it down to one. They're all awesome. All you guys are awesome. I can't pick just one. That would be unfair. But I promise you one thing. I would give you all plenty of television time to get yourselves up. You would all get a reasonable push on my show. Cripple Punk 91. I have no jokes tonight, but I do appreciate the time you put in for us. Thanks, Solo. That's very nice of you, Cripple Punk. I appreciate you. And Justin G, I appreciate the gifted membership to Scumdog 420. Abu Sika. Haven't heard from Abu Sika in a while. What is this? Alive just fired. Please keep my super chat. LOL. A lot. Alive. Oh, I think he's saying I'm alive just... You mean tired? Alive, just fired, he says. Please keep my super... Well, your super chat is still there. The $69 one is still there. Our ghost friend is still there. It's good to hear from you, Abu Sika. Sharon Cox with the $4.99. Adam Copeland's limited AW losses are not from unwillingness to lose, but a back injury preventing him from lying flat for pins. Ah. He and the Ding Dongs team with the Hunchbacks, they would go well together. They could win the Trios titles. Leopoldo, your mom is so old, her social security number is 1. It's pretty good. Scumdog with the best joke of the entire night, beating out everybody else. Favorite Tank Abbott match. That was a good one. That was the best one yet. And Justin G, we need sponsors on the mic covers for all the WWE reviews. Got to secure that bag. Make it heavy. Like right here? We'll get one right here. Hey, sponsors, we're open right here. The Blue Chew mic. Then I'll bring back the blue mic cover. We'll have the Blue Chew mic right here. How great would that be? Yeah, I'm open for business. Sound Off is growing by the week. I'm just saying. Duff's Vids. I went to the paint store to get thinner It didn't work out. I'm still fat. And I meant with Goldberg, has he lost a title match going for the belt since his return? That was his last match, wasn't it? He challenged Roman Reigns in Saudi Arabia. Right? Roman was champion at the time, and Goldberg got beat. So the answer is yes. He has challenged for championships, and he has lost. Eileen. Here's to double be the booker. Thank you, Eileen. And Creflo, what was the channel that thought you were a movie critic and interviewed you about Burt Reynolds after his death? That was ITV over in the UK. It's one of the biggest channel, if not the biggest channel over there on their morning show. It's the morning show that Piers Morgan co-hosts. Yeah, I've told that story before. Poor Burt Reynolds. Burt Reynolds passed away. And I was at work that day, and I got an email from a producer there asking me if I would have time to come on and talk about the unfortunate passing of one of the great Hollywood legends. And I thought, that's kind of odd. But in my warped mind, the first thing I thought of was, well, I guess he was at WrestleMania 10, so there's a wrestling connection there. I said, sure. Come to find out that there's actually a UK movie critic with the same name. The lines got crossed there in some way. Somehow the lines got crossed. But I went on ITV, and it was a pre-taped interview, and they only used like 10 seconds of it, but there I am. And I made sure on the lower third there was a plug for Solid Monster Sounds Off, and I'm talking about fucking Burt Reynolds. Not fucking him, but like I'm talking about Burt Reynolds. Amazing. But hey, I got paid, right? So that's all that matters. Cameron Spencer with a $4.99. I'm a huge Sanity fan. I don't like the Wyatt Six. Bringing back Sanity can help Nikki... You should bring back the Sanity, all right. Bringing back Sanity can help Nikki Cross escape the Wyatt Six. Oh, Sanity can help Nikki Cross escape the Wyatt Six. Are you down for that? I am not a Sanity fan, so I am definitely not down for that. Sorry, brother. I wasn't a fan of theirs in NXT either. So now I will tell you that they got a raw deal. They never got a serious push on the main roster. They at least deserved a chance. They never got the chance. Vince just wasn't a fan of theirs. But yeah, you're talking to the wrong guy here. I was never a Sanity fan. Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things. Like, I remember I'm on the bus going home, and I'm like studying like the fucking filmography of Burt Reynolds. Okay, Smokey and the Bandit and Deliverance, and what else was he in? The Evening Shade, the TV show. Making sure I'm studying up, and I'm like, and then reality is starting to set in on like what happened here. But now I've committed to it. I can't back out now. So I said, if I can, there's an expression, fake it till you make it. That's what I was doing. But it all worked out. It all worked out. And it was funny too, because I had a handful of people who are fans of the show who live in the UK who watched the morning show. And like a couple of them were like, I'm having my breakfast. And I'm like, the fucking Solid Monster's on my TV. I go, yeah, I'm everywhere, man. You never know where I may pop up. I got someone else's payday, though. Oh, well. Lost Dill became a channel member. How do I use the Super Chat sounds like Goldberg and the Learning Tree? Well, in the description down below... are the dollar special dollar amounts. And so if you go through, well, there's an icon in the live chat for Super Chat. If you drop that specific dollar amount, it should trigger on screen. So that's how that works. Always glad to help out one of the newbies. Oh, The Longest Yard. Yeah, another one. The Longest Yard. Yeah, he was in a lot of stuff. Boogie Nights. Absolutely. Is there anywhere you can see it? I've looked, man. It was at one point behind a paywall. And now I don't even think it's like the old link doesn't even work anymore. So no, I don't think it's available anywhere. It's in their archives. I don't have access to it anyway. I wish I would have recorded. It was so brief. I wish I would have recorded that report, but I don't have it. I wish I did. Still have the emails, though, from the producer. All right. You guys killed it on the bonus goal. And on the regular goal, we're currently at 521 likes. I like it. Maybe we can hit 550 before I get out of here. But you know what's coming. It's about that time. Oh, yes, it is. It's time to be the booker.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to be the booker.
Ah, yes, there he is. Number 17, the unseen 17, the last real champion. That's what he calls himself. John Chayna. We got Oliver with us. Oliver Klozoff, superfan. Hello, Solomonster. Hello, Oliver. See, Oliver knows. Oliver knows. Oliver. Right, Oliver? Oliver, her nose and chin. Okay, tag team be the booker. Here we go. We begin with RK-Bro. How is it that Randy Orton in this image with Matt Riddle, however many years younger he is in this image, is less jacked than he is today? Randy Orton looks like a friggin' tank now compared to how he looks in this image. RK-Bro. Kicking us off here in Be the Booker, former Raw Tag Team Champions. And they're going to be taking on Techno Team 2000. And I know there's going to be a bunch of people who are in the chat who are of that age where they're going to look at these two guys and be like, who the fuck are these two guys? Look it up. Techno Team 2000. This was a real thing. Look, it even says it on their gear. All right, women's be the booker. Saturday morning squash match, yes. I'd rather watch a Tank Abbott match. Rowdy Ronda Rousey. I know she's all your favorite. Ronda Rousey is in Be the Booker. Hey, you know what? If Ronda Rousey is in Be the Booker, then we should be main eventing with this. It's the only way that that they might get the main event spot. Like that first Evolution. Ronda Rousey against Jazz. It's not looking too good. It's not looking too good. It's a good thing we have a second round coming up because this one's not going very well. But we have to do better here. I mean, right? We have to at least get one. We begin with the Yeet Man. The former world heavyweight champion. There he is. Jey Uso. You cannot escape the Yeet. He's on Raw. He's on SmackDown. He's in Be the Booker. He's everywhere. And still, Rikishi will not be happy. Main event Jey Uso is in the main event of Be the Booker. Let's see who he's wrestling. He's wrestling Al Bundy. And I dare say we're going to have a brand new world heavyweight champion. He's going to beat the shit out of the Yeet Man. He might even beat the shit out of Rikishi while he's at it. Al Bundy. I was just watching Married with Children actually earlier. They have that Cozy, C-O-Z-I, Cozy TV channel. They've got some classic shows. They have Married with Children on there. I was watching that earlier. One out of three is not a very good score, although we still did better than the Mets have been doing. But because we have bonus Be the Booker, we get to do another round. We get to wash it away and try all over again. See? Aren't you glad that we got a bonus Be the Booker? I'll bet Jey Uso never scored four touchdowns in one game. Guarantee that. All right, we're having a dog collar match. We're going to have a dog collar match, and it is going to be... Man, we usually start off with the teams, but I think we're going to do the ladies this time. That's what I think. We're going to have a dog collar women's match. I know some of you sickos are going to find this very exciting. I don't know that there's ever been a dog collar women's match. Not in a major promotion. We're doing it now. Ooh, Sensational Sherry. Sherry Martel. Yes. Yes. I like the way we're starting things out here. Sherry Martel in a dog collar match against Ruby Riot. How are we feeling about this? I'm going to give it the bell. I'm going to give that the bell. I was pretty much sold on Sherry. Although there are some in here where we could have landed on an opponent that I would have given it the buzz, but I can work with this. As a promoter, I can work with this. I think this is going to be good. All right, we need a tag team stipulation now, so let's see. What do we got? What do we got? What do we got? We got an Inferno match, a tag team Inferno match. It's going to get hot in here. It's going to get hot in New York. We're about to enter a heat wave here in New York. It's going to be in the 90s almost every day this week. That's great for when I record and stream. Oh, that's going to be fun. Well, it's going to get very busy in this ring. Four guys in a ring with giant flames shooting up around them. What could go wrong? Oh, no. We got the Hart Foundation. Bret Hart and Jim the Anvil Neidhart. Didn't we do this recently? Didn't we have an Inferno match? I think, and the Hart Foundation might have been a part of it, actually. Hart Foundation in an Inferno match against the Guns. Austin and Colton Gunn. What happened to the Guns? I haven't seen them on AEW television in a while. They disappeared. They disappeared. Jay White disappeared. Juice Robinson disappeared. They're nowhere to be found. I'll give that the bell, though. I still give it the bell. Man, this has been very... I mean, I've given these the bell, but like not a terribly enthusiastic bell. Bret Nowen, I mean, come on. Bret and the Anvil, the Hart Foundation. We need a really good main event here. Okay. It's going to be an I Quit match. Hart Foundation in Infernos every week. They must have heat with somebody. Get it? Heat. Come on, I had to. All right, I Quit match. Here we go. This is our main event. This is our final main event of the evening here. Final main event of the week until Monday, maybe. We have the Nature Boy, Ric Flair. He's had a few main events in his day. He's going to be in an I Quit match He had a famous I Quit match with Terry Funk.
Maybe we could recreate it here.
Oh, my God. What is going on here? What is going on here? Something is going on here. Something is going on here. We have Ric Flair. Oh, I just realized a clean sweep. Ric Flair and Al Bundy. Man, Al Bundy, let me tell you something. You know, we talk about Stephanie Vaquer working three matches in 24 hours a couple weeks ago. Al Bundy, he's pulling double duty, but like we picked him recently. Like he's been very active lately. I can't believe that happened. Both main events tonight feature Al Bundy. They both get bells. Because Ric Flair and Al Bundy in an I Quit match would definitely be an attraction I would pay to see. El Grande Shoe Salesman, yes. Al would put a mask on. He'll be a lucha for one night. Well, this is becoming the Al Bundy show here is what this is becoming. Twice in one night. He's only in there once. It's not like he's in there multiple times. What are the chances of that? Needle mover. Hey, I get to sell a lot of No Mam shirts. As the promoter, I love it. Ah, we got Drew McIncock. Want a match Royal Rumble. No SummerSlam. A lot. What? What are you saying here? Hold on a second. I don't even know what he's trying to say. Drew says, want a match Royal Rumble. No SummerSlam, a lot sumer. I have no idea what you're saying, brother. How many drinks have you pounded tonight? My goodness. Creflo, Tank Abbott pulling out a knife on Big Al is better than Techno Team 2000. Yeah, but it wasn't Al Bundy, though. See, Al Bundy wouldn't have put up with that shit. Cecil Robinson doing a 16-hour shift. I thought that said shit. I said, dude, you got to get some medication or something. I thought, maybe I'm just tired. I think Drew McIncock super chat. I know I'm not reading that wrong. I think he's definitely drunk, but I almost said doing a 16-hour shit. He says shift. So say, Cecil, you got to see a doctor, brother. If it's taking you 16, it shouldn't take that long. It shouldn't take that long. A 16-hour shift, 5 hours left. Thanks for the company. You have been missed. That's a long shift. Well, look, I'm glad I can keep you company for part of it, at least. I hope you're not doing that every day. That's a crazy schedule to keep up. Thank you, Cecil. But if it is a 16-hour shit, definitely get over to a Walgreens as soon as possible. I know they have pills for that. They have pills and they have powders that you can mix, right? Miralax. Sounds painful. Drew McIncock, 28 months of channel membership. Bang, bang, Solomonster gang. Yes, indeed. Leopoldo. With the final super chat here. You get the last word. Best Yo Mama joke tonight was Brett saying Goldberg is so stupid. If you told him he was performing on Saturday night's main event, he would ask what day it's on. Again, I don't know if that's real or not. Like if it is, I need to hear it. I definitely need to hear it if that's a real thing. If that's real, I'm totally opening the podcast with it on Sunday. Now I have to check this out. Thank you, guys. I think we are all caught up now on your messages. You blew it up tonight in the best way possible. I appreciate it. We had a great week. We had a great night. We had a great week. You killed it. This was the biggest stream of the week. And we had a great stream on Monday, too, and then Wednesday. So we get to do it all over again next week. Next time I'm live with you here on the YouTube channel is going to be... I just remember these were all paused. Jesus. Next time I'm live with you here on the channel, now they're going to start to filter in, will be Monday night. That will be the King of the Ring semifinal, Cody Rhodes and Jey Uso. Goldberg will probably be on that show, I'm guessing, as well. I think we'll be seeing him pretty frequently on TV, supposedly between now and Saturday night's main event. So we'll talk about that. Tuesday is going to be exciting because Tuesday is episode 100 of Tuesday Night Titans over on JD's channel. So we're going to be celebrating. It's going to be a party. Hopefully you guys can join. You're all invited. Wednesday, the Dynamite post show, and then next Friday in Riyadh, back here for SmackDown, and I will be live for Night of Champions as well. When Night of Champions is over, we'll have the live review on the YouTube channel. That's next weekend. But before all that, we have episode 917 of the Sound Off. There was no Sound Off last weekend. I was away, but I'm back in business, back in black. So yes, episode 917 on Sunday, dropping sometime in the afternoon. Make sure you're subscribed on whatever podcast platform you choose to listen to your podcasts. So that's all I got for you. Be well. Be well. Yes. Drew, I don't know. I hope so, Drew. I hope he does. I hope he joins us. Be well. Stay safe. Have yourselves a great weekend. Wherever you may be, if you're going to be In different parts of the country, it's going to get very hot and very dangerous over the next several days, including here in New York. So in all seriousness, wherever you may be, if you're in the middle of that, stay safe. Stay safe and stay hydrated. Stay cool. And I will see you back here on Monday night for more Sound Off live on YouTube. Until then, take care, guys.